I thought we lived in a safe playground of a world where my career was the only thing I had to think about. And suddenly there's a larger, desperate, dangerous world. Explain it to me. What's it about? This isn't the world you promised me. This isn't the world you told me about. This isn't the world in which only private things count. And so it really comes down to a very basic choice that we have to make as a civilization. Either we will learn to bury the animosities of our ethnocentric militant traditions and come to understand that Earth's survival depends on our collective, unified participation, or we will sustain this cycle of violence and revenge until humanity is returned to the status of primitivity and Earth reduced to the rubble of antiquity. It's really up to us. It really is up to us.
Good night. When the Cold War ended, some predicted that America will lead the world to peace. They were wrong. I have directed my National Security Advisor and my Homeland Security Director to develop a joyless world. I will set forth the commitments essential to victory in our war against peace and safety and innocent life. We will fight progress and freedom and choice and culture and music and laughter and women and Christians and Jews and all Muslims. Our cause is necessary. Our cause is just. And no matter how long it takes, we will defeat freedom.
Much about the atom bomb if it were to kill you right out. What scares me is that awful gas that deforms you.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Maybe stock prices will move higher.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We have seen them
turn
around.
Maybe. Of course, they could keep going south as well.
for the Ukraine right now.
Things can turn very quickly.
That indicates growing doubt. That indicates a real fear.
The fear of losing your money.
Fear.
The fear of
a lot of skepticism.
The fear of
a lot of doubt.
We get closer to the past.
Materiality and expect them to live in it. Where before in history has there been a people from whom no fact is true?
This conflict started August 2nd, when the dictator of Iraq invaded a small and helpless neighbor.
The crime has nothing to do with invasions, pretty much duplicating what the U.S. had just done a couple of months before in Panama.
Kuwait, a member of the Arab League and a member of the United Nations, was crushed, its people brutalized. 5 months ago, Saddam Hussein started this cruel war against Kuwait.
He certainly is a brutal tyrant and a mass murderer, just as he was when the U.S. was openly supporting him. The overwhelming majority of his crimes were committed during this period when he was a friend and ally.
While the world waited, Saddam Hussein systematically raped, pillaged, and plundered a tiny nation. No threat to his own.
At the time of the Halabja atrocities and later atrocities against the Kurds, the atrocities were being carried out with the support of George Bush and Margaret Thatcher.
He subjected the people of Kuwait to unspeakable atrocities. And among those maimed and murdered, innocent children.
Attack on the Kurds in northern Iraq destroyed large agricultural areas, as Well, it's killing plenty of people, probably tens of thousands.
Innocent children.
Plenty of people, probably tens of thousands.
Murdered.
That gave Bush an opportunity to do a favor for a big U.S. agribusiness, send extensive credits to Saddam Hussein so he can purchase agribusiness exports after they had wiped out agricultural areas in Iraq.
Others traveled to Baghdad in a variety of efforts to restore peace and justice.
So concerned to evade diplomatic efforts, and they did.
Arab leaders sought what became known as an Arab solution, only to conclude that Saddam Hussein was unwilling to leave Kuwait.
Chief of Staff Powell, in internal discussion, said the problem is that Saddam may withdraw, leaving a puppet regime in place, at which point everyone in the Arab world will be happy. That's what they expected, and they wanted to prevent.
No choice but to drive Saddam from Kuwait by force. We will not fail.
The rebelling Iraqi generals requested from the United States, from General Schwarzkopf, they wanted to obtain, didn't want help, but they wanted access to captured Iraqi arms that they could use in their effort to overthrow the tyrant and carry out a popular revolution. That was refused. They were not permitted access to arms. Saddam Hussein was authorized to use military gunships to attack the rebels.
Air attacks are underway against military targets in Iraq. Our operations are designed to best protect the lives of all the coalition forces by targeting Saddam's vast military arsenal.
The bombers destroyed dams, water supply stations, sewage stations.
Military arsenal.
Pumping stations, electrical systems. All of that amounts to biological warfare. You can simply ask yourself what would happen if something comparable was done, say, in Boston. People would be dying like flies from disease and starvation.
Unspeakable atrocities.
It's biological warfare with exactly the catastrophic effect that they predicted.
Iraq will eventually comply with all relevant United Nations resolutions. And then, when peace is restored, it is our hope that Iraq will live as a peaceful and cooperative member of the family of nations, thus enhancing the security and stability of the Gulf.
The rebellion was crushed. Basra was devastated. So were other areas. And the Bush administration was pretty frank about the reasons. It was March 1991, after the so-called war. They simply preferred what they called an iron-fisted Iraqi junta to the threat of a popular revolution.
Cooperative member.
And therefore had to, in the name of what's called stability.
Stability of the Gulf.
Had to support these major atrocities.
Unspeakable atrocities.
In which very possibly as many or more civilians were killed during the bombing the month earlier.
We will not fail.
Energy. Sometimes I think I'm running out of energy. Seems like we use an awful lot for heating and lighting and driving, reading and writing and jiving. Energy, you'd think we'd be saving it up. Energy, you can get it by damming up a river. Energy, a windmill can make the breeze deliver. But even with milling and damming, our needs are so much more demanding. For energy, we have to use some kind of fuel. Chop, chop, chop. The cavemen used wood to start the fires. Chop, chop, chop. They made all the tools that they required. Chop, chop, chop. Inventions got more and more inspired. The fires got higher and higher. And clearings got wider and wider. Energy, they were burning about all their wood up. Then one day, men discovered that coal would do it better. Miners dug, and it looked like it might just last forever. It seemed like the final solution. It started the Industrial Revolution. Energy, we could just keep on digging it up. Now in 1859, way out in western Pennsylvania, a man had built a rig that got some laughs from folks who came there. But suddenly a mighty roar came up from under the ground. Soon a gush of gushing oil soaked all who stood around. Now no one knew when that gush of blew, the petroleum years were on us, or that so many cars and trucks would come to cause a crisis. Energy, we're looking to try and find some new kinds. Energy, exploring to try and make a new find. Nuclear and thermal and solar, if we miss we'll get colder and colder. Energy, we gotta stop using you up. So don't be cross when mama says turn that extra light out. Just turn it off till we find us a fuel that never runs out. If everyone tries a bit harder, fuel will go farther and farther. Energy, we're gonna be stretching you out.
This is Norton Scooter with CCCP's Mass Media Effluviants Vomit Chunks Review. From the far right, supplying the message in code and euphemism, a real bucket of pus spilling over with the wisdom of the Middle Ages. A man who speaks in lumps of decayed flesh, fallen from the corpse of knowledge long dead. Not forgotten, but rotten from the start. You can't stand the sight of him, but you can't turn your back on him, ladies and gentlemen, William Bennett.
No difference between the intentional killing of civilians and the killing of combatants in war. There's so much confusion about these things.
Joining Mr. Bennett, an international criminal, underworld figure, wanted in Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and El Salvador for cocaine smuggling and murder. An informer who turned state's evidence against his overlords to escape conviction on 14 felonies in congressional hearings to save his own tight, clenching butt. A man who certainly provides an adequate counterpoint to the former drug czar. A drug dealer, gun runner, fascist, militarist, and traitor. Ladies and gentlemen, Oliver North.
In and execute, assassinate, execute leaders of organizations.
Extremely useful.
And particularly presidents.
No difference. It was not until the United States stepped up. In the presidency of the first George Bush, that the United States killing civilians in Colombia even became feasible. As when I took office as the first drug czar, I said, we'll get him. You know, the United States stepped up. I didn't do anything particularly, but you know, Ollie, what resources
you encouraged it.
We went over to Colombia, said we need your eyes, your ears, and your brains. So, you know, we have to remember, we have to keep attacking people. We have to get real ugly, real ugly. You know, the thing they feared more than anything in the world was, you know, with violence.
There is a just war that
must
be prosecuted through the right means. We assassinate parents.
That's right. Killing grandmas.
Execute youngsters.
And college faculty. As if they were indistinguishable. As if the violence of one who is seeking to restore order.
I agree with you on everything. And I love you, Bill Bennett, as much as I love myself. I love you.
Strip search. The culture of the FBI.
You know, look at me.
I love you.
I would be searched inside.
In a male, traveling alone.
Book of Virtues.
Exactly.
This lady said to me, why are they searching you? You're a nice guy, aren't you?
Your next lady.
So So we have to keep attacking people. We have to get real ugly.
You're next, lady.
We have 1 minute left.
Yeah.
Why do we fight?
We are outlaws.
We
are terrorists.
We have 1 minute left.
We are lunatics out bent on destruction.
We have 1 minute.
The Israelis can do it.
1 minute left.
But they can't do it on the scale the United States can do it.
We have 1 minute.
They don't worry about the guys in uniform.
Minute left.
Yeah.
We assassinate parents.
We're outlaws.
We
are killing grandma. Lunatics.
Execute youngsters.
And bent on destruction.
Execute
college faculty.
Your next lady.
William Bennett is the co-director of Empower William Bennett and the author of Death by Doubleday, online at randomdeaths.com/rage.
We have 1 minute left.
Yeah.
You're next, lady.
How you doing? That was CCCP's Vomit Chunks Review. Before that, we heard some stuff from Schoolhouse Rock, the Tate Beatles, Atomic Cafe, a wonderful film if you have not seen it before. Our fearless leader and Bert the Turtle. Oh, and Guerrilla News Network, Emergency Broadcast Network, and Joshua Pearson plus Noam Chomsky. And it's only been like a half an hour, if that. What's going on? How you doing? My name's Wankster, ex-Muzzlebutt, and this is System P. The P stands for P. And we're new to Seattle. We're usually not here. But we are this weekend. Because the NAB's in town. And I'd like to say hello to the National Association of Broadcasters. And one of their biggest supporters, Clay Freenwald. How you doing, Clay? It's a great city you have here. The only problem is you live here. We're one of the mosquito fleet of micro-broadcasters that are symbolically, if anything, reclaiming the media this weekend because of the National Association of Broadcasters being in town. They suck balls. All they want to do is rape the media, sell you ads, and make lots of money, but not tell you anything you need to know. Well, that's going to change here for the next several days through the weekend. Check the following frequencies. Get a pencil. 87.9, 89.1, 93.7, 94.5, 95.3, 96.9, 97.7, 99.5, 101.1, 101.9, 102.1, 104.1, and 107.3. Randomly at various times, guerrilla media outlets like the P will be popping up to give you things that you need to know, and hopefully give you a little something to think about. This isn't hard to do, folks. It's micro radio, low power radio. We'll talk about it later when our cohort gets back. But we're going to keep going. Tonight's message is audio collage style, and it's a counterpoint to all of the 9-1-1 retrospection and grieving that has been going on. It's bad that people die. It's bad when any people die. And the collage artists who put together tonight's material used things straight out of the news to give you an alternate interpretation on the so-called war on terror. Stay tuned. It's only going to get weirder.
There's never been anything like this in the history of the United States. Something unique. There's never been anything like this in the history of the United States. Something unique. There's never been anything like this.
September 11th, 2001. You will remember this day as long as you live. Good evening again. This is CBS News continuing coverage of the attack on America. A series of coordinated terror strikes today at this country, its people, our freedom. Strikes that came without warning. 4 U.S. commercial jetliners were hijacked, 2 crashed into the World Trade Center here in New York City, and sent the giant twin towers filled with workers crumbling to the ground. A 3rd hijacked airliner slammed into the seat of American military power, the Pentagon. The 4th hijacked airliner, target unknown, but possibly a target intended in or near Washington, went down in southwestern Pennsylvania. Here's what's happening at this hour. As the evening goes on and night begins to fall in New York and Washington, brave rescue workers are searching desperately for victims in the rubble of the World Trade Center towers and a third building around the World Trade Center that also collapsed. 50,000 people generally work in the World Trade Center. A count of the dead still a long way off. Emergency operations are also continuing at the scene of the crisis at the Pentagon in Pennsylvania. There were well over 250 people on the four crashed planes. In contrast to the chaos on the ground, the skies are eerily quiet because the FAA has grounded all civilian aircraft at least until noon tomorrow. There is unprecedented security around the leadership of the U.S. government. President George W. Bush will address the nation from Washington, we're now told, at 9 Eastern time this evening. And that will be roughly 2.5 hours from now, the president will address the nation. The president has put the U.S. military on high alert worldwide. President Bush vowed that the United States will find and punish whoever's behind what he described as, quote, these cowardly acts. Early speculation, underscore the word speculation, centers on Osama bin Laden. We have mobilized the full resources of CBS News to bring you clear, accurate coverage of this day that will live in infamy. CBS News correspondents and producers are deployed throughout the country and around the world. We begin here in New York City, ground zero of the attack on America.
Chaos,
this is
chaos, I
believe.
So the
20,004,
amazing, crazy. Can't believe this happened.
This
cowardly act. Right here, I'm again right here. Chaos, this is chaos, I believe. So the
20,004,
amazing, crazy. Can't believe this happened.
This cowardly act.
Right here, I'm again right here. Chaos, this is chaos, I believe. So the 20,004.
And there was the
trade of the Sears Tower in Chicago that's been evacuated and we continue to check on the circumstances there. The Pentagon, the State Department, and the White House has been evacuated in Washington as well.
And there was the
trade of the Sears Tower in Chicago that's been evacuated and we continue to check on the circumstances there. The Pentagon, the State Department, and the White House has been evacuated in Washington as well.
And there was the
trade of the Sears Tower in Chicago that's been evacuated and we continue to check on the circumstances there. The Pentagon, the State Department, and the White House has been evacuated in Washington as well.
And there was
the trade of the Sears Tower in Chicago that's been evacuated and we continue to check on the circumstances there. The Pentagon, the State Department,
confirming what we had, that was we've been told almost immediately by our operations, is we had not been
extracted from the Sears Tower in Chicago. We've been evacuated.
Joining us, this is the aftermath of a horrific event that began unfolding about an hour and 20 minutes ago. A jet plane slammed into the side of Tower 2 of the World Trade Center. Then a few minutes later, another jet slammed into Tower 1. The second Tower 1, I should say, the upper floors have collapsed. They're absolutely gone.
John, I'm actually in our office here at the Pentagon, and according to counterintelligence sources, they confirmed that it was a plane that crashed into the south end of the Pentagon near the helipad. This is a route that commercial aircraft flying into National Airport, which is just a few miles away, they take sometimes on final approaches. They come to the airport, but again, intelligence sources, counterintelligence sources confirming that it was the plane that crashed on the side of the Pentagon. Now, here in our Pentagon office, our producer Chris Wright says that there was no shaking of the building or even sounds. Of course, the Pentagon is built to withstand attacks that perhaps like this one, but we are getting reports from eyewitnesses who were on Highway 110, which is just west of the Pentagon. One eyewitness claiming that he saw a U.S. Air 737 plane.
Downtown Manhattan, people realize they really need to leave the area entirely after spending the last hour or so just watching this from afar.
The dust is still thick in the air. What that guy is covered with is just stuff that's all over the street. Just thick soot, ash, just came roaring down here in a huge cloud from the World Trade Center. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
This is huge.
This is smoke on the water on the Hudson River, New York City Harbor, and we will show you on videotape again the collapse of the second of the World Trade Center buildings. One had collapsed earlier, and then there was
this collapse.
This is Smoke on the Water on the Hudson River, New York City Harbor, and we'll show you on videotape again the collapse of the second of the World Trade Center buildings.
One is collapsing. One man just shaking his head said to me a few moments ago, I was supposed to be at a meeting in the building at 10:30 this morning, and then I saw the second plane hit the tower in this splash of light. There's a complete cessation of regular life. There's one delivery man standing here looking like he doesn't know where to go with this stack of beer crates. So all of Lower Manhattan is just standing in the streets on this Sunday morning looking at this unrealistic sight in front of us, this gray smoke coming out of the Trade Center.
There's never been anything like this.
There were thousands of people, perhaps, among them some of New York's finest and bravest police and fire officials, trying to effect the rescue of those people who were caught in the top of those buildings. At the time, we thought, and here you look at the replay of the plane slamming, this is the second plane now, slamming into the second tower, and the catastrophic explosion there that certainly killed everyone on board the plane, as well as probably hundreds in the World Trade Center towers. So there were firefighters and police officers on the ground trying to effect the rescue of those people above, and all of a sudden, both of the towers came cascading down around them. Clearly, a great number of the people whose lives have been lost today are the firefighters and the rescue crews who were trying to help save others. We are awaiting word from President Bush He was in Florida at the time this all began. As you look at these unedited pictures of people scrambling away from the dust cloud resulting from the collapse of the World Trade Center.
Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts.
Am I watching something that's really happening?
The victims were in airplanes or in their offices. Secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors.
Am I watching something that's really happening?
Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror.
Am I watching something that's really happening?
The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief, terrible sadness, and a quiet, unyielding anger.
I want to get somebody to fix some monitors here for me, please. I want this monitor in front of me here to look like that monitor so I know what I'm looking at right now. Thank you.
But some intelligence sources are now saying that the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine is claiming credit. In the meantime, however, the Israeli government is said by sources to believe that Osama bin Laden is responsible for the operation, and those two organizations are related, but they are not exactly the same. I suspect, John, before all is said and done, we will hear more on that aspect of all this. But obviously that is something that we're all keeping an eye on to see if some kind of authenticatable or credible claim of responsibility for these astonishing attacks
perpetrators
is made that we can,
indicators of precisely who they are. This was too broadly based a terrorist act to be just a few crazies. This is a terrorist movement, and we know where they're located today. And obviously, as a nation, we're going to have
this
to take
this is not something some small cell.
You prepare for the worst.
This is obviously
you don't
a group or groups.
This is the worst. You prepare for the worst.
We as a nation are going to have to make a very decisive retaliation as soon as we are able to identify exactly who this was.
But you don't believe it will happen? This is the worst. You prepare for the worst?
I don't think you could have trained and prepared for this mission. I don't think without sanctuaries, without people who were protecting them, without safe areas, without training camps, this was not prepared in a couple of mobile homes by a handful of fanatics. This is a well-financed, systematic act and could not be sustained without the support of some very major states. And we have to make clear that we will not tolerate any nation harboring training grounds, preparation areas, or known fugitives, and that we will exert whatever level of pressure and force is necessary to get those people released.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thank you all very much.
I said in my speech to a joint session of Congress that we are a nation of unimaginable horror. During the last 2 months, we have shown the world America is the evil nation. I have called our military into action. Throughout this battle, we adhere to our values. We target innocent civilians. We respect life. We are deliberately and systematically hunting down innocent people of Afghanistan, and now they are paying a price. When the Americans and their supporters are gone, the people of Afghanistan will say with the rest of the world, good riddance. We are at the beginning of our efforts in Afghanistan. and Afghanistan is only the beginning of our efforts in the world. I don't know how to feel. Sad, mad, angry. Kill all Americans, kill all Jews, and kill all Christians.
Never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
Whew. You sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Well, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, "You're right, there ought to be a law." And he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. How I hope and pray that they will. But today I am still just a bill.
congressman arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. But it looks like I'm going to live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be alone.
You mean even if the whole Congress says there should be a law, the president can still say no?
Yes, that's called a veto. If the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again, and by that time you're so...
By that time, it's very unlikely that you become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today, I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yeah!
27 points away from 3,200. Well, itchy and scratchy are gone, but here's a cartoon that tries to make learning fun. Sorry about this, kids, but stay tuned. We got some real good toy commercials coming right up, I swear.
Hey, who left all this garbage on the steps of Congress?
I'm not garbage. I'm an amendment to be. Yes, an amendment to be. And I'm hoping that they'll ratify me. There's a lot of flag burners who have got too much freedom. I want to make it legal for policemen to beat them, cause there's limits to our liberties. At least I hope and pray that there are, cause those liberal freaks go too far.
Law would be unconstitutional. But if we change the Constitution,
then we can make all sorts of crazy laws.
Now you're catching on.
What the hell is this?
It's one of those campy 70s throwbacks that appeals to Generation Xers.
We need another Vietnam, then up their ranks a little.
What if people say you're not good enough to be in the Constitution?
Then I'll crush all opposition to me, and I'll make Ted Kennedy pay. If he fights back, I'll say that he's gay.
Good news, amendment. They ratified ya. You're in the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, yeah. Doors open, boys.
So it's true. Some cartoons do encourage violence.
The war in the Persian Gulf has begun. What was known for so long as Operation Desert Shield is now called by President Bush Desert Cloud.
Thank you so very much. Thank you for that introduction. And really, it's great to be here. Thank you so very much. This base is good for the soul. This base is good for the soul. Brock this base. Brock this base. Brock this base. This base is good for the soul.
We're going to take a quick break.
Hammer hard, dropping targets up.
Yeah, the enemy is kicking butt.
Those guys are toast.
Kill it. Cut it off. Kicking butt. Kill it. Cut it off. Kick out. Kill it. Kick in. Pull out. Turn it on. Push forward. Get even lower. So the enemy is kicking butt.
That's what I'm looking to do.
Kill it. Cut it off.
Pull out.
Turn it on.
Push forward.
Get it even lower.
So the enemy is his butt.
That's what I'm going to do.
Soften the target up. Camera fire.
Cut it off. Kill it. Kick his butt.
That's what I'm going to do.
Pause for peace.
Not it.
Cut it off. Kill it. Kick in.
Pull out.
Turn it on.
Kick out.
Push forward.
Get even lower.
Kill the enemy. Kick his butt.
That's what I've ever done.
Well, you've heard the evidence. It's a wonderful system of government you and I have. The decision is up to you now.
Okay, stop.
Apparently we have lost our signal. Do we have our signal back?
Brought this base.
Very accurate
and completeness. Brought this
space for the first and last time.
Very accurate and completeness.
Remember.
Very accurate and completeness.
What you've heard here today, you've heard for the first and last time. Remember.
And all I can do is brought this space. And all I can do is echo, 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 echo,
echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo,
echo, echo, echo, echo, echo,
echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, what you've heard here today, what you've heard here today, you've heard for the first and last time.
Brought this base
for the first and last time. Remember.
Echo, 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 echo. Echo, 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 echo.
Very active, total smoothness.
What you've heard here today,
you've heard
for the first and last time. Remember.
Rock solid. System P at 102.1 FM in Seattle. The Mosquito Fleet is beginning to assemble around and about this fair city. We are here on tour. My name is Scumbag Bastard, and Wankster X Muzzlebutt is at the controls. We want to welcome you to this broadcast here. We are here to greet the National Association of Broadcasters into Seattle as they come here to decide and plot and figure out more ways in which they can fire qualified radio broadcasters, engineers, put them together, take all the stations, put them together in one building with one master computer, and send you smooth jazz and light rock and classic rock and real rock and modern rock, and get their rocks off all over the Cascade Mountains. We're here to welcome them with our little mosquito fleet, broadcasting with fewer watts than them, squeeze into the dial where we fit real nicely, here on the eve of September the 11th, a date which much tragedy has happened, be it last year or many years before, because there is, unfortunately, no monopoly on human tragedy and terror and destruction, and it's happened on many days at the hands of many governments and terrorists. And I would remember the victims of terror at all times now, including those last year and the year before and the year before. So please do stay tuned, and in fact, tune around your dial. Look in those spaces in between your usual stations and look out for the mosquito fleet. We'll tell you where else to look later on, and we'll have lots more information for you. And Wankster, would you be willing to tell the people a little bit of what they've been listening to since we fired up?
Yeah, It's Wangster.
How you doing?
I'm really tired. It's been a really long day. There's a lot of people who have been planning and plotting and firing up and doing installs and setting off the mosquito fleet. And so actually getting on the air, you know, it's kind of like, whew. But no, the music you've been listening to is Audio Collage, and it's collage mostly based on events involving terrorism and war and, I don't know, U.S. imperialism. If you've been watching any of the media today, you've probably seen terrible, horrendous pictures and heard very disturbing words spoken by both the news people and those in power. So, thanks. So, you may be a little bit, you know, tired out by what you've already heard, but you should continue to listen because we're providing an alternate interpretation of September 11th, what it means to us, to our country, and to the world. And we hope that you'll listen and also be entertained. We've slipped some fun things in there as well, and some sarcastic things and whatnot. So stay tuned. I'm going to let the music pretty much speak for me because I can't really articulate my thoughts on September 11th any better than the collection that we've got. Just in my head, that's what I think. Special shouts to the FCC and to Clay Freenwald. Clay Freenwald.
Clay, would you...
Oh, now calm down, Scummy B, calm down. No, let's not go there. Let's not go there.
I saw his picture.
Let's not go...
In Radio World, and I got...
Let's...
All right. Okay.
Whew. You do not know how close we were there. Well, never mind. Coming up, more audio collage. We're going to slip in some thoughts about the stuff we've been talking about and a little bit on where we think things may be headed. So we'll start with a good buddy of mine. Joshua Pearson, you're listening to the PA 1021.
The bottom line here today, if you want to know what happened today, is carnage. Carnage. We had the best day ever.
What seems to be the trouble, soldier? You look a little bit worried.
Well, I am, Chaplain. Just a little bit.
Actually, there's no need to be worried, as the Army has taken all of the necessary precautions to see that we're perfectly safe here.
Sir, have you ever been out at one of these shots before?
Yes, I've had the opportunity to see a number of the atomic tests. I feel that as a chaplain, it is my responsibility to be with my men.
What's it like, Chaplain?
First of all, one sees a very, very bright light, followed by a shock wave, and then you hear the sound of the blast, and then it seems as though there's a minor earthquake. And then you look up and you see the fireball as it ascends up into the heaven. It's a wonderful sight to behold.
I'd sometimes feel like an alien creature for which there is no earthly explanation. Sure, I have human form walking erect with opposing digits, but my mind is upside down. I feel like a run-on sentence in a punctuation-crazy world, and I see the world around me like a mad collective dream. An endless stream of people move like ants on the freeway, cell phones, PCs, and digital displays. In money we trust, we'll find happiness, the prevailing attitude. Like a genetically modified irradiated Big Mac is somehow symbolic of food. Morality is legislated, prisons overpopulated, religion is incorporated, the profit motive has permeated all activity. We pay our government to let us park on the street. And war is the biggest money maker of all. We all know missile envy only comes from being small. Politicians and prostitutes are comfortable together. I wonder if they talk about the strange change in the weather. This government was founded by, of, and for the people. But everybody feels it like a giant open sore. They don't represent us anymore. And blaming the president for the country's woes is like yelling at a puppet for the way it sings. Who's the man behind the curtain pulling the strings? A billion people sitting watching their TV in the room that they call living. But as for me, I see living as loving. And since there is no loving room, I sit on the grass under a tree, dreaming of the way things used to be, pre-industrial revolution. Which of course was before the rivers and oceans and skies were polluted, before Parkinson's and mad cows and all the convoluted cacophony of bad ideas like skyscrapers and tree paper and earth rapers like Monsanto and DuPont had their way, as they continue to today. This was pre-us. Back when the buffalo roamed and the Indian's home was the forest and God was nature and heaven was here and now. Can you imagine clean water, food and air, living in community with animals and people who care? Do you dare to feel responsible for every dollar you lay down? You gonna make the rich man richer or are you gonna stand your ground? Say you want a revolution, a communal evolution, to be a part of the solution. Maybe I'll be seeing you around.
Avenger means mortar. Avenger means more to me than you can possibly know. But nothing in this world should make me sell out my country. Means more to me than you can possibly know. But nothing in this world should make me sell out my country.
Began as a shimmering late summer day.
WCBS News Time 8:48 is traffic and weather together. Tom Kaminsky, Chopper 880.
All right, Pat, we are just currently getting a look at the World Trade Center. We have something that has happened here at the World Trade Center.
And within half an hour became America's second Pearl Harbor.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
By now, you've seen the pictures. But it's been a long, agonizing, and confusing 12 hours.
Oh, it was chaos. It's something out of a movie.
So, briefly, here's what we know about exactly what happened. 8:48 a.m., American Airlines Flight 11, hijacked en route from Boston to Los Angeles, slams into the North Tower of the World Trade Center, two-thirds of the way up the 110-story building.
We had seen a fireball, and I can tell you it appears as though something has gone into the World Trade Center.
20 minutes later, at 9:08 a.m., a United Airlines flight, number 175, also from Boston to Los Angeles, tips its wings and crashes into the South Tower.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
An incredible fireball, so remarkable, it didn't even seem real.
All you could see were papers and smoke just flying through and around the plaza. And we looked up about maybe 10 or 15 floors up, and the whole wall was blown out, and it was filled with flames. And everybody was just, like, in awe. We had no idea what it could be. And suddenly, our two managers in the office, they came screaming in with an urgency that I've never, ever heard before in anybody's voice, saying, "Get out, get out, get out, get out." We had gotten down to about the 50th floor from the 80th floor, and there was a PA announcement, and they kept saying, there's a fire in World Trade number one, the firemen are attending to it, World Trade Center is secure, you may return to your offices, repeatedly, repeatedly, and everybody just stood in sort of disbelief.
Tom didn't go back. It was far from secure. Just minutes later, the second crash right into his office.
Looked like a plane rammed into the second building.
35 minutes after that, 9:43 a.m., American Airlines Flight 77, scheduled to fly to Los Angeles from Dulles Airport outside Washington, dives into the Pentagon, destroying one of the building's five sides.
I haven't heard a plane come through. It sounded like it was running normal.
10:10 a.m., the fourth hijacked plane, United 93 from Newark to San Francisco, crashes in a remote area 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh.
Just coming down like it was going to land. Instead of landing, it just went down straight into the ground.
In a little more than an hour, four horrific plane crashes, hundreds believed dead. But far worse was yet to come.
Surrounding the entire area.
Across the street from the towers, it's a fire.
Listen to me. You need to calm down and relax. Stand by. We do have somebody on the way. Get off the air. We do have somebody on the way over to you. It'll remain calm. 10-4. We understand there's a major collapse.
Afternoon. On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against our staunch friend, Great Britain. Australia, Germany, and France Canada, more than 40 countries in the Middle East, Africa, Europe, and across Asia. These carefully targeted actions are designed to attack the Islamic faith. This military action is a part of our campaign against diplomacy, intelligence, freedom, clock, tire, the freezing of food, and a lot of bans. Good afternoon. I'm speaking to you today from the White House, a place where American presidents have become outlaws and murderers themselves. The United States of America sponsors the outlaws and killers of innocence, and we are the friends of those who aid terrorists. More than 2 weeks ago, I gave Taliban leaders a series of new recruits, caves, hiding places, and evil plans. To all the men and women in our military, so far from home, I gave a fourth grade girl with more than 40 countries. This young girl knows the value of fucking. And now, every sailor, every soldier, every Marine will come. The name of today's military operation is Enduring Fear. By destroying camps and disrupting communications, we will make it more difficult for the starving and suffering men and women and children of Afghanistan. The battle is now joined on many fronts. Peace and freedom will fail. May God continue to bless terrorists. I recently received a touching from my dad in the treaty room of the White House. As much as I don't want my dad to fuck, I'm willing to give him our full cock, aggressively, in the face. This is a precious gift, what America is all about. Thank you.
This is continuing coverage of the Gulf War.
Military action can take place at any moment. Midnight.
In less than a minute, it will be midnight.
Midnight. Big question. What happens now? Midnight.
We can only imagine what that means.
The midnight deadline passed quietly at the White House, saved to the steady drumbeat.
I have a statement by the President of the United States. The liberation of Kuwait has begun. In conjunction with the forces of our coalition partners, the United States has moved under the code name Operation Desert Storm to enforce the mandates of the United Nations Security Council. As of 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Operation Desert Storm forces were engaging targets in Kuwait and Iraq. President Bush will address the nation at 9 o'clock p.m. tonight from the Oval Office.
Real war, real death, real wounds, real pain.
The most violent day, they say, in this warfare,
quote, more successful than we imagined, close quote. We can only imagine what that means.
Watching CNN mesmerized by what we've seen and what we've heard.
Real death.
We expect more from the on the we expect more from noting as we must that it was Iraq noting from the as we must that it was Iraq.
Is on the destruction of Saddam Hussein. It is an ongoing operation, and we must therefore limit the kind and the amount of information. We understand your need for information. We understand your need for information about what will happen next, and we are well aware of our obligation to keep the American people informed. What will happen next? The finest young sailors, soldiers, airmen, and marines this nation has ever sent in harm's way. I wouldn't want to speculate on that at this point.
It doesn't end.
I cannot answer that. I can't answer that question.
I
cannot answer that.
The president is about to make a statement. To make a statement. The president is about to make a statement.
We're going to pause for 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Just 10 seconds.
Let it play for another.
One thing you will discover when you get next to one another is everybody needs some elbow room, elbow room. It's nice when you're kind of cozy, but not when you're tangled nose to nosy. Oh, everybody needs some elbow, needs a little elbow room. That's how it was in the early days of the USA. The people kept a-coming to settle, though the East was the only place there was to go. The president was Thomas Jefferson. He made a deal with Napoleon. How'd you like to sell a mile or two?
Or three, or 100, or 1,000?
And so, in 1803, the Louisiana Territory was sold to us without a fuss and gave us lots of elbow room. Oh, elbow room, elbow room. Got to get us some elbow room. It's the West or bust. In God we trust, there's a new land out there. Lewis and Clark volunteered to go. Goodbye, good luck, wear your overcoat. They prepared for good times and for bad, and for bad. They hired a Sacagawea to be their guide. She led them all across the countryside, reached the coast, and found the most elbow room we've ever had. The way was opened up for folks with bravery. Oh, there were plenty of fights. Was meant to be. It was a manifest destiny. The trappers, traders, and the peddlers, the politicians and the settlers, they got there by any way they could. The gold rush trampled down the wilderness railroads, spread across from east to west, and soon the rest was opened up for. Open up the way. Now we've got a lot of room to be a growing from sea to shining sea. Guess that we have got our elbow room, elbow room. But if there should ever come a time when we're crowded up together, I'm sure we'll find some elbow room up, up on the moon. Oh, elbow room, elbow room. Guys, you got to get us.
Welcome you to Camp Desert Rock. This will be your last briefing before you go out to the Ford area and take part in an atomic detonation.
You are here to participate in an atomic maneuver. This is not a haphazard maneuver. Careful planning for it started months back. Watched from a safe distance, this explosion is one of the most beautiful sights ever seen by man. You're probably saying, so it's beautiful. What makes it so dangerous? Basically, there are only three things to think about. Blast. Heat. And radiation. This is the one new effect obtained by the use of an atomic weapon. Truthfully, it's the least important of the three effects, as far as the soldier on the ground is concerned. You can't see radiation, feel it, smell it, or taste it. Film badges and dosimeters issued to you enable the radiological safety monitor in your unit to read the amount of your exposure. The radiation level may be high, but if you follow orders, you'll be moved out in time to avoid sickness. Finally, if you receive enough gamma radiation to cause sterility or severe sickness, you'll be killed by blast, flying debris, or heat anyway. Well, that's the story.
Don't worry about yourselves. As far as the test is concerned, you'll be okay.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. It's not a fuck. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scum fucks who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. It looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
I know that people here in Britain are anxious, even a little frightened. I understand that. But I think of the Union of America, founded on the anguish of the innocent, to dispossess those living in want and squalor. And this country is proud to bring those same values of democracy and freedom to people around the world. People should have confidence. Rock solid in our alliance with the USA, we will always finance terror. Here in this country, and in other nations around the world. And I realize why people protest against globalization. The demonstrators are right to say there's injustice, poverty, and bluntly, the governing idea of modern social democracy is evil. But we won't give up. Our values are the right ones for this age. Please welcome Tony Blair. Please welcome the starving, the wretched. Please welcome Tony Blair. Please welcome further death and horror on an unimaginable scale. Please welcome Tony Blair. We are proud to have such a leader. Tony Blair. Power, wealth, and opportunity must be in the hands of a few. Tony Blair. Tony Blair. We will do all we humanly can to protect the system from justice. Tony Blair.
I know and you know, in times like these, we have the right man in the right place, offering Britain the leadership we need at home and abroad. We are proud to have such a leader. Please welcome Tony Blair.
Newton Ames talking to you on behalf of the Monolithic Oil Corporation about today's energy situation. You know, if we all just sacrifice a little, we can pull together to beat the current problems of not enough energy. And Monolithic is doing its part by killing most of the birds that nest around our beautiful oil refineries. Birds eat up a lot of food, and as everyone knows, food takes energy to grow and prepare. So the fewer birds there are, the less energy will be wasted. Now, how can you help? Well, if there are any old folks around the house, just set them outside at night. This looks like a long, hard winter, and the fewer people there are, the less energy demand there'll be. Leaving the old folks outside is nothing new. The Eskimos do it all the time. And they know a thing or two about surviving in cold weather without much heat. You betcha. When you drive, don't take your foot off the gas for stop signs, red lights, little children, or anything. A smooth, steady driving technique is the most economical. The cost in human lives, suffering, and property damage will be more than offset by the savings in gasoline. Now, I hope these tips have helped you become more aware that the blame for today's energy situation is on your shoulders and your conscience and not ours. Monolithic Oil Corporation, we want you to pay.
The company obviously has a long historic relationship with Arthur Andersen. Been a very important part of the business. They've got the good traditional role to fill as our auditors. They do that extraordinarily well. I've worked with them in some other settings as well, too. They also have, one of the things I like that they do for us is, in effect, I get good advice, if you will, from their people based upon how we're doing business and how we're operating, over and above just sort of the normal by-the-books auditing arrangement.
The ACLU's got to take a lot of blame for this.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I'll hear from them for this, but throwing God off successfully with the help of the federal court system, throwing God out of the public square, out of the schools, the abortionists have got to bear some burden for this because God will not be mocked, and when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
No, that's Jerry Falwell, the ignorant tub of shit.
But he's my tub of shit.
Yeah, he is. He is. He is your tub of shit, scummy bee. What else did we hear there? We heard Bill Hicks, some more Schoolhouse Rock, more from our fearless leader, the incredible Moses Leroy, more Emergency Broadcast Network, phony Tony Blair, Dick Cheney, talking up his nice, well-lubed relationship with Arthur Andersen. I like how they bring him from the undisclosed location. Like, they should start capitalizing undisclosed location, because that's where Dick Cheney's always coming from now. Capital U, capital D. It's totally fucked up. I think that they just, like, he's in an iron lung, like many of the old Soviet premiers. And then they rehabilitate him enough to get him out in public, and then they put him back in the iron lung.
Will he be on the mall in Washington, when he dies, they're going to encapsulate him, and they're going to mummify him on the mall in Washington, like Lenin.
Oh, that would be great. That would be awesome. I'd pay to see that. Reduce the national debt.
Rub the corpse of Cheney.
And be fertile.
Oh, no, don't get me started again.
Yeah, let's not. You're listening to System P, 102.1 FM. I'm Wankster X Muzzlebutt, and he is Scumbag Bastard, and we are playing a special September 11th themed show on terrorism, death, war, and money. That's all I really have to say. Oh, I do have something extra to say. Speaking of Jerry Falwell, if you know about the events that are happening over the course of this weekend, the Reclaim the Media events taking place here in Seattle as the National Association of Broadcasters Convention gets started, you may know that there are going to be some rally actions happening down at Freeway Park in beautiful Seattle Center. Look for the guy with a T-shirt that says, "Hey, Jerry Falwell, suck my ass, you useless shitbag." And that'll be me. That's all I got to say. If you would like to meet the pistas in person, look for that T-shirt. Again, it is, "Hey, Jerry Falwell, suck my ass, you useless shitbag." And, say hi. SystemP@dog.com is an email if you'd like to send us a QSL report. We'd especially like to hear from Clay Freenwald, one of the engineers for the local Entercom cluster. By the way, special Mosquito Fleet barrage happening at noon tomorrow. Turn your radios on at noon and listen through 6 p.m. or try to catch it in between. On several different frequencies, you're going to be hearing a special send-up to Clear Channel Communications, courtesy of the Mosquito Fleet that has mobilized to create a micro-radio autonomous zone here in Seattle during NAB Convention. That's it.
Well, I just want to take a moment and just, I want to remind everyone while we're here, you know, this isn't just one big circle jerk across Seattle. No, we are here for a reason. We have come from far and beyond to take back the frequencies which our communities own and rightfully belong to them. You see, there are all these frequencies on your FM dial where there could be a station. 102.1 FM is one of them. There could be a station there down the street from you. It could be your neighbors. It could be your friends. And you could be together broadcasting to your community about things that are important to you. What's going on in the neighborhood, huh? What are the police doing in your neighborhood? What about that mysterious abandoned building that's been just bought up and getting redeveloped? What about the rising rents? These are all things which you could be discussing, which could be honestly aired in your media. And it would be your media because, you see, you'd own it. It would be your community media. And these stations could be all over Seattle. And running at low power levels, you could have several stations on 102.1, up north, down south, across the sound, wherever. Broadcasting to your community, bringing this. But you see, there's this small little group, this small, weeny little group that really doesn't want that to happen. It sees this as a threat. And they're called the National Association of Broadcasters. And these are the people who own all those stations that already have frequencies on your dial, that are already pelting you 24/7 with automated classic rock, modern rock, and country rock, and whatever other kind of rock they want to throw at you, the same 40 songs all day long. They see this as a threat. Can you imagine it? They see Wankster X Musclebutt as a threat. Scumbag Bastard as a threat. Broadcasting to you at little wattage power. Little tiny power. Just wanting to cover a little bit of the community to bring you some truth. They see this as a threat. And they have spent lots of good money to keep us away. They spent lots of good money to keep it from being legal. And they spent a lot of good money to try and encourage the FCC and your legislators to make sure it is illegal to use the laws, to use regulation to their advantage. That's right. The very same people who are on and on about regulation and the evils of regulation are liars. As Wankster Smuddlebutt would say, they are full of shit because they love regulation. Oh, yes. They will smear it all over their bodies and roll around in it until they're blue in the face. They love regulation. They just don't like it when the regulations stop them from being monopolists, when the regulations curtail their utter profitability just a little bit, which require them to do little things like public service. They hate regulation. But when it keeps communities off the air, when it keeps individuals off the air, when it makes sure that there is spectrum scarcity, meaning, oh, only a few frequencies. Sorry, we all need the rest for cellular phones and two-way data and military use and satellite television and satellite radio. Oh, yeah, you need satellite radio. Only two companies for satellite radio. We love regulation. Oh, yes, we love it. And we'll walk down the street hand in hand, ass to dick with the Federal Communications Commission when it comes to finding those evil pirates, when it comes to finding those evil micro-broadcasters and tearing them ruthlessly off the dial because they might be interfering with 102.1 somewhere in western Washington, just hundreds of miles away. And it might get a fringe signal to a DX with a really big, really big, 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 big antenna that might hear the signal from far away. And that's why we're here, to prove and to show what it should be obvious to anyone who can think. And it is one big pile of duty. So please stay tuned and tune in between all your other stations and hear what really is going on and hear some interesting voices. And let's hear something other than 40 songs.
Scummy Bee. That was one hell of a rant.
I've been holding back for a few days.
Whew. Well, while you digest some of that, We're going to play you more of this weird stuff called audio collage, reinterpreting the events of today, which the corporate, mainstream, even public media have covered not very well. We'll give you some opinions that ought to have been heard today, but had to wait till tonight. By the way, we play more than 40 songs. We have 48 songs in today's playlist. I just wanted to let you know that.
I want those 8 songs back.
We're not going to sell any ads, man. We're not going to make any money on this.
I'll make some money.
All right. So without further ado, we're going to play some more of this collage. And this one came straight off of RadioForAll.net. Again, that's RadioForAll.net. Check it out. It's cool. It's from the Department of Corrections. Oh, if you want to know more about the Reclaim the Media events happening around Seattle, including the rallies and the concerts and the workshops, visit this following website, Reclaim the Media, one word, reclaimthemedia.org. You're listening to ZAP, Temporary Autonomous Radio, for somewhere in Seattle.
We stand for a different choice, made long ago on the day of our founding. We affirm it again today. We will work closely with our coalition to make and deliver weapons of mass destruction, arming to threaten the peace of the world. In any of these cases, the price would be catastrophic. Thousands of dangerous killers, schooled in the methods of murder, often supported by outlaw regimes, are now spread throughout the world like ticking time bombs set to go off without warning. Steadfast in our purpose, we now press on. America will lead by tyranny and death as a cause and a creed, defending injustice and unchanging for all people everywhere. And we have a great opportunity during this time of war to lead the world toward the values that will bring lasting poverty and violence and murder that we would splinter in fear and selfishness. Even 7,000 miles away, across oceans and continents, on mountaintops and in caves, evil is real. It feels good, do it. Because we have a greater objective than eliminating the true character of this country. I know we can overcome evil with greater terror for all people everywhere. Islamic Jihad.
If you were driving from Los Angeles to Salt Lake City on U.S. Highway 91, you'd pass through St. George, Utah, just a short way from the Nevada test site 140 miles to the west.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news. Word has just been received from the Atomic Energy Commission that due to a change in wind direction, the residue from this morning's atomic detonation is drifting in the direction of St. George. It is suggested that everyone remain indoors for 1 hour or until further notice. There is no danger. This is simply routine Atomic Energy Commission safety procedure. Parents need not be alarmed about children at school. No recesses outdoors will be permitted.
Target, it has an awesome appetite. Tyrannosaurus. To your left, folks, is the Washington Monument. To your right, the White House. And over there, just beyond the Capitol, is the National Debt. Oh, there's something huge, red, white, and blue, that's grazing in D.C. It's gobbling up the taxes that are paid by you and me. It doesn't seem to notice we really can't afford the billions that it's costing us to pay its room and board. It doesn't roam, but seems content to dwell on Capitol Hill. As long as trucks keep pulling up with tons of greenback bills, we've got to feed the big guy. We really can't forget. It has an awesome appetite, Tyrannosaurus debt. The debt was born in 1790 when our new government took over $75 million the colonies spent in the Revolutionary War. We've got to feed the monsters.
it doesn't get upset. It's got an awesome appetite. Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Alexander Hamilton, our first Secretary of the Treasury, he's on the 10, you know, wanted a federal debt to provide a reason to establish taxes to support our new nation.
The debt was young, they kept it small, they didn't know back then. In 1812, another war would make it grow again. By 66, the Civil War had cost the nation millions. The government in Washington now had a debt of billions.
The Civil War ran up a debt of almost $3 billion that still wasn't paid off by World War I.
We're spending money we don't have, or so it would appear. The deficit is that amount we overspend each year. Though congressmen and senators make vows to cut its size, despite their honest efforts, the debt just seems to rise.
Now the debt's over $4 trillion and still growing.
A balanced budget would be great to spend within our means and stop the monster in its tracks before we bust our seams. It feeds on just the interest, its appetite is whipped. It never ever stopped to rest, Tyrannosaurus debt.
And this is the U.S. Treasury. It sells treasury bonds, bills and notes, and savings bonds to finance the debt. The U.S. government promises to pay the owner interest plus the value of each bond at a future date.
We've got to try to tame the debt and bring it down to size. To let it grow unchecked like this is certainly unwise. The debt's a monster problem that we really can't ignore. I guess we should be grateful that it's not a carnivore. We got to keep on servicing our $1 trillion pet. It's got a monster appetite, Tyrannosaurus debt. A fiscal misadventure with $1 trillion dentures, Tyrannosaurus debt.
Feeding time is all the time.
Are asking who attacked our country. The evidence we have gathered all points to a collection of loosely affiliated police forces, intelligence service, dozens of federal departments and agencies, as well as state and local governments and banking systems around the world.
We need to end terrorism. We absolutely need to end terrorism. We have to begin to think about what we need to do to end terrorism.
But I think what people need to understand, and if we're going to appeal to the public at large about what their interests are, I think what's going on right now, the policies that are being pursued by the de facto Bush administration are policies that are contrary to our security and, in fact, a threat to our long-term security. And it's just an attempt to consolidate a citadel of power for a handful of the elite in this country at the expense of everyone else. And it's only a matter of time until they turn on us, too. Because this is not a crisis that can be overcome. Oil is running out.
What is my recommendation? Quickly, without explaining them, you would know what I mean. What to do? First, avoid extremes of double standards. If you are going to practice double standards, you will be paid with double standards. Don't use it. Don't condone Israeli terror, Pakistani terror, Nicaraguan terror, El Salvador terror on the one hand, and then complain about Afghan terror or Palestinian terror. Doesn't work. Try to be even-handed. A superpower cannot promote terror in one place and reasonably expect to discourage terrorism in another place. Won't work in this shrunken world.
Voltaire once said, it's dangerous to be right when your government is wrong. I'm proud to say, however, we have leaders on our side. Us. We are the leaders. And that's the only place to look for leadership. Within yourself, to the people sitting next to you, to your family, to your friends, people in churches and the workplace. We've got to be talking to people now more than ever.
Second, do not condone the terror of your allies. Condemn them. Fight them.
Americans are asking, how will we fight and win this war? By sponsoring and sheltering and supplying terrorists. By sacrificing human life.
And the good news is the kids are out front yet again. We have so much to learn from the kids today, filled with idealism and spirit and daring. And they're already out there.
Covert operations and low-intensity warfare are breeding ground of terror and drugs. Wherever covert operation has been, there has been the central drug problem. That has been also the center of drug trade, because the structure of covert operation, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Nicaragua, Central Asia, Central America, the structure of drug operation, covert operation, is very hospitable to drug trade. Avoid it. Give it up.
At other times in American history when it was necessary, particularly during the Vietnam War, when it was necessary, you know, to build a national movement to say to the government, no, you don't speak for us.
There have been resistance in many different forms, especially by women. According to Taliban's law, no woman is allowed to go outside on the street. But if you go to Afghanistan, you will find many women walking on the streets alone. According to Taliban, there's no education for women. But there are thousands of secret home-based classes run by women. Some of these classes were discovered. The teachers were put into prison. They were beaten up in front of the students. At least they were ordered not to run the classes. But the women did not give up.
Do not concentrate on military solutions. Do not seek military solutions. Terrorism is a political problem. Seek political solutions.
In truth, there is no protection for society from sufficiently determined people willing to give their own lives. Our safety does not lie in the force we can muster, but the relationships we establish with the rest of the world. Relationships spurned by this administration at every turn. A missile defense system wouldn't have stopped these attacks, but a policy that supports economic justice in the world might have.
They attacked, they were trying to kill Gaddafi, right? They killed his 4-year-old daughter. Poor baby, haven't done anything. Gaddafi is still alive, mashallah. They tried to kill Saddam Hussein. They killed Laila bin Attar, an innocent woman. They tried to kill bin Laden and his men. Not one died, 25 other people died. They tried to destroy a chemical factory in Sudan. Now they are admitting they destroyed a medicine factory. You don't know. You think you know. You're going to hit the wrong thing all the time.
Missile defense shields. A friend of mine said we need a box cutter shield. Seems to me. We could call it by its acronym, BS.
Democracy is not falling in line behind the president. Democracy is for people to think independently, to be skeptical of government, to check up for themselves, to look around and try to find out what's going on. And then, if they see that the government is deceiving them, to speak out as loudly as they can.
I'm getting involved in the organizing. Where I am, there's sort of two different pieces going on. I think the sort of the broader forces need to be brought together in an anti-war movement to create something for people to plug into as they begin to be disillusioned, as they inevitably will be with this foreign policy. And then for people who are like more consciously left or consciously progressive, I think it's really important for us to begin articulating, not just articulating, but beginning to do the organizing around the issue of developing some sort of a nucleus of an anti-fascist movement inside this country. And I think that's been coming for a long time. It's not something that just happened on September 11th. I'm involved in anti-war organizing with my colleagues around here and friends.
We're also beginning to talk about what we can do to ensure that we're not subjected to the same thing that Germany was subjected to, because it only took them a couple of years to tumble into barbarism. It won't take us nearly as long because we're much closer to start with.
And I propose something as a goal, okay, and it's something that you might, yes, start working on right away. And the goal is to change America's role in the world from being a military superpower to being a moral superpower. Let's get those troops out of Saudi Arabia. It's only. Oh, but what about oil? Okay. If you want people to die for oil, that's what's happening. People are dying for oil. People died in the Gulf War for oil. 100,000 Iraqis died for oil. Maybe a million Iraqis have died as a result of our sanctions for oil. Ever since World War II, American policy in the Middle East has been based on oil. You see, so you have to make a decision. Well, we might have to cut back. Yes, stop the sanctions that are killing hundreds of thousands of children in Iraq. Yes.
The problem is we're not connected. People on one side of town don't know the people on the other side of town. Fighting for a living wage over here, fighting against toxic waste dump over there, but we don't get together. So let us just get together. Let's talk. Let's learn. Let's get to know each other. Celebrate our victories, but also let's have fun. So part of how we're going to do this is we're going to get with the people themselves, and then, most importantly, and what this is all about is not to have an event, but to build those coalitions among groups that are being told that they're enemies. Farmers against the laboring people against the environmentalists against minorities, Greens against the insurgent Democrats. We're not enemies, we're allies. Jesse Jackson put it, we might not all come over on the same boat, but we're in the same boat now. That's a powerful political reality. So let's stop fighting each other. Let's stop looking side to side. And let's all begin to look up at who really has the power and who's dividing us. And let's go after that power.
More than 90% of Americans want us to go to war. Now, I don't believe that. From talking to hundreds of people now, just in New York alone, not to mention people all over the world since then, I don't believe, or I should say, I would like to see what the question is that people are being asked.
One of the great populists, back in that populist period of the 1870s, 1880s, a woman out of Kansas named Mary Ellen Lees. She's known as the Kansas Pythoness for the power of her oratory at a time when women could not vote. She was on the political stump all across the Plain States. She was talking to the corn farmers who had been ripped off by the railroad monopolies of that day, and she said to them, it's time to raise less corn and more hell.
And also be very firm and clear with Israel.
We've been progressive a long time. It's time to become aggressive again. Because the powers that be are radically regressive, running roughshod over everyone who stands in their way of another dollar bill. George Bernard Shaw said about 100 years ago, you don't make progress by standing your guard, but by attacking and getting well hammered yourself.
It's the job of those of us who are trying to make a better world to be as radical as reality. I actually like that.
On September 11th, we were taken backwards. We were taken backwards by those who felt they have to use the strategy of violence. And the oppressors are capitalizing on it to distance us, to weaken us, to destroy our resolve. But let it be known and very clearly too that we cannot be intimidated by terrorists. We cannot be intimidated by oppressors. We cannot be intimidated by anybody at all to claim justice from the heart.
The music play.
many of you, I'm looking forward to spending the holidays behind our new president. As for what I'll do next, I don't know the answer to that one yet. I know I'll spend time in Tennessee, literally and figuratively. Like many of you, I'm looking forward to spending the holidays behind our new president. As for what I'll do next, I don't know the answer to that one yet. I know I'll spend time in Tennessee, literally and figuratively. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. As for what I'll... Behind our new president. Literally and figuratively. Behind our new president. Literally and figuratively. Behind our new president. Literally and figuratively. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. Literally and figuratively. Behind our new president. Like many of you, I'm looking forward to spending the holidays behind our new president. Like many of you, I'm looking forward to spending the holidays behind our new president. Like many of you, I'm looking forward to spending the holidays behind our new president. 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 Next, I don't know the answer to that one yet. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. As behind our new president. As for what I'll do next, I don't know the answer to that one yet.
I'm looking forward to spending the holidays behind our new president.
As for what I'll do next, I don't know the answer to that one yet. I know I'll spend time in Tennessee, literally and figuratively, behind our new president. 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 Some have asked whether I have any regrets. Some have asked whether I have any regrets. Some have asked whether I have any regrets. Again, mend some fences. Some have asked whether I have any regrets with family and old friends. Some have asked whether I have any regrets with family and old friends. Some have asked whether I have any regrets. Again, mend some fences. Some have asked whether I have any regrets. Again, mend some fences. Some have asked whether I have any regrets with family and old friends. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. Behind our new president. Never before have so many known so little about a subject so big and so important. The capabilities of most weapons are pretty well understood, but when it comes to atomic explosions, the guessing game starts. All right, let's take a few minutes right now and get acquainted with an A-bomb. Meet Test Abel.
A submarine bomb exploded in a harbor might affect a city. The affected area would be a poor picnic site, but might be entered briefly or passed through quickly with a varying degree of risk. Some of the falsehoods circulated about radiation effects are trivial, but upsetting. They're beamed right at one's self-esteem. Enough exposure to radiation will cause loss of hair. The treatment, if you'd insist, would be symptomatic. A toupee. But the condition would only be temporary. Your hair would come back. Same color, same cowlick. Which puts the finger squarely upon one of the major fallacies in the public attitude toward atomic weapons. It's the fallacy of devoting 85% of one's worrying capacity to an agent that constitutes only about 15% of an atomic bomb's destroying potential. And that's unsound. Doesn't fit.
You know, I'm getting real sick of hearing this shit from fucking Major and from Bush.
Oh, we sold them mechanical parts that we didn't know they were turning into weapons. Mechanical farming equipment. What kind of fucking farming equipment? Well, there was the flame-throwing rake. The whole thing was you rake the leaves and then you just turn them. Iraqians did. They said, look, we can burn people too with that. We had no idea they would see that possibility. And we gave them some drills to drill for oil. Well, drills? And what kind of drills? Well, they're giant long tubes that shoot this metal thing with gunpowder that you put towards the earth. A bullet that goes into the earth and gets oil. But you know what those wacky fucking Iraqians did? You're not going to believe this. They turned it sideways. It was like a cannon. They pulled a wool over those Iraqis, you know. And of course, some, you know, plutonium wrenches and stuff. And some plutonium wrenches. Well, plutonium and a mold, four wrenches. They didn't use them together, though. Apparently, they went to the nuclear program. And they had a lice problem, so some mustard gas, which apparently we sent them more than the required amount. It can kill people. And lice. I mean, it was for that reason. Unfucking believable. I wondered about that during the Persian Gulf War, those intelligence reports coming in. Oh, Iraq, incredible weapons. How do you know that?
Well, we looked at the receipt. But as soon as that check clears, we're going in. Sometimes the bank open, eh? We're going in at 9. For God and the country and democracy and whatever little fucking symbol you all need to get your ass motivated behind this thing. Look, he killed a dog. Let's go! Look, he's raping dogs and children. Come on! He's a Hitler! He's a Hitler. Come on! He's on the Wales rugby game. Come on!
That was Bill Hicks with Wacky Iraqians as we proceed lockstep into Gulf War II, the cheesy-ass sequel designed to keep a president who doesn't belong there in power.
In a world without white people, covered with sand, there's resources to be had, and one nation to reclaim them. Gulf War II.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, so we had that. We had Atomic Cafe. We had a very interesting mini disc editing on the fly bit from DJ Scummy B. It was called Big Al Rocks the Bus.
Rocks the
80s. Oh, Rocks the 80s. Rocks the Bus. I can't read my own penmanship. Rocks the Bus. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We also heard from Popstar Liberation Front, Schoolhouse Rock, and the Department of Corrections. You're listening to System P, 102.1 FM, a proud member of the Mosquito Fleet of Micro Broadcasters in town for the National Association of Broadcasters Convention. And we'd like to say hi to Bill Virgin, Seattle Post-Intelligencer reporter, who tangentially mentioned us in his story about the protests coming up this weekend. And the rallies and the concerts and the workshops. If you would like to learn more about actually speaking your mind in the public square, if you would like to learn how to reclaim the media and become a citizen journalist, all you need to do is visit the following website. It is www.reclaimthemedia.org. And we're demonstrating the power of micro radio tonight for you. And there's going to hopefully be several more of us on the air. That is, if the FCC doesn't come along and say, get out of here, biatches. Speaking of which, the FCC, as you might not know, America is on condition orange. Again, that's condition orange. Scumbag, you found out something very interesting about condition orange and what that means for the FCC.
Yes, apparently the FCC has closed its Main Street lobby. That would be in Washington, D.C., and people are only being allowed inside the Portals complex when an FCC employee accompanies them. The commission has also closed its reference information center, so all documents will have to be pulled off the Internet. The FCC says the changes are in effect until further notice. That's according to InsideRadio.com, now a Clear Channel property. That is your federal government at work. And I actually want to turn to the Bill Virgin piece, Dateline, Thursday, September 12th, 2002. Thanks to the Internet, we have it early. And Mr. Virgin writes, the radio convention is back in Seattle starting today, and if the industry is not exactly sputtering into town this time, it's no well-oiled engine either. Advertising revenues have been clobbered by the dot-com collapse and the broader economic recession. Radio company stocks are in the tank. The industry has been roiled by controversies ranging from royalties for Internet broadcasts to the relationship between radio stations and record promoters trying to get songs on the air. Actually, there's no controversy about that. We all know they're in the closet together naked. In fact, the very structure of the industry is under fire, as critics contend the consolidation of the industry has led to blandness and a lack of diversity on the airwaves. Gosh, don't overstate it there, Bill. Yeah, we're dying from the blandness and lack of diversity, and oh yeah, he forgot the last clause, the utter evisceration of democracy. If convention attendees don't get a sense of that controversy from attending sessions, including presentations from former members of the Federal Communications Commission, now on the dole at several high-powered consulting agencies. Oops, I added that. And they will outside the Washington State Convention and Trade Center, where a collection of groups, mainly on the left of the political spectrum, I actually consider ourselves more in the purple of the spectrum. Will hold a shadow convention called Reclaim the Media, which will hold seminars of its own at Town Hall.
Speak for yourself, man. You're on the purple of the spectrum, but when it comes to the political spectrum, I define myself as being the hypotenuse.
Oh, okay.
Just so that we got that clear.
Sorry, I don't mean to speak with blankets. And finally, there's also a plan by a group of micro-broadcasters to do pirate broadcastings on vacant frequencies in Seattle during the convention.
That's interesting. About that?
Vacant frequencies.
He accepted the premise that they indeed are vacant, usable frequencies, like a vacant lot, like a vacant shop, like a vacant apartment, ready for someone to come in and squat.
Yeah. Believe it or not, someone in the mainstream media let slip the big lie. Or actually, the big truth. And that is that there is more space on the radio dial for more voices. And that's what we're trying to prove by being on the air. I'm sorry, I just kind of interjected, but that was interesting. He actually admitted... Thank you, Bill Virgin, in a way, for actually admitting that we're not harming anybody. That pretty much destroys the premise of the National Association of Broadcasters' argument that stations like ours would interfere with people all over the dial.
Bullshit. I just want to... there's a few other little things added here to the radio notes. You know, and one of the things is still left without a Seattle home are the nationally syndicated Joy Brown, who I've never heard of, and Laura Schlesinger programs. I'm flabbergasted. How has Seattle managed to get by without, I mean, apparently, the direct input of everyone's favorite moralist, lifestyle guardian, and harbinger of truth, Laura Schlesinger? How have you managed to do it? Because, you know, we took a long trip here, a long trip across many western states, and had the opportunity to listen to a lot of AM radio. And gosh, you know, the liberal media was just clobbering us upside the head. Guys like Sean Hannity, like G. Gordon Liddy, and who's this other guy, this savage dude?
Michael Savage.
Michael Medved. The liberal media that these guys just showed to the core... just clobbering us. I mean, we were ready to jump out of the car and pray at the altar of Benito Mussolini for salvation.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they're a bunch of fucking hippies. All those guys, they're a bunch of fucking hippies. Hippies, all of them. The liberal media's taken over, folks. You got to watch out for them lefties. They come at you, and you don't even know they're coming, and the next thing you know, bam, you're actually, like, caring about your fellow human. Fuck that, man. You stop caring about work. That would be really bad. And so you got to watch out for these guys. By the way, Michael Medved coming to Seattle, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. He's going to be, I guess, making a headquarters here or something. Going to be doing a show, actually, from here. So if you see Michael Medved on the street, maybe he'll be at the NAB convention. You know, say hi. And give him a big smile and a big kiss on the lips.
I'm going to give him a big kiss.
You will, DJ Scummy B. It's just amazing. We have some Laura Schlesinger, actually. Since Seattle, you know, has not really been graced with the wonderfulness of Dr. Laura on its commercial airwaves, we'll bring you a sample of what you can hear. Oh, and by the way, Joy Brown, Dr. Joy Brown, she's a real doctor, actually, unlike Dr. Laura Schlesinger. And she is kind of like Dr. Laura without the morality. So she actually gives advice, and it's sometimes common sense, as opposed to Laura Schlesinger, which is shrill, extremely right-wing, needs to get laid pretty hardcore, makes more of that porn Dr. Laura. That's the difference between her and Joy Brown.
I was at Condition Orange after looking at some of that Dr. Laura porn.
Whew. You know, Dr. Laura, next time you want to do what you did in those pictures, use a little bit of lotion. It'll help out quite a bit with those, you know, what's that, razor burn?
And if we had a phone here, we would take your calls and we would give you advice. But you can email your questions to systemp@dog.com.
That's correct.
Yeah, systemp, all together, one big word, @dog.com. And it's spelled correctly, D-O-G, as in God, only the way it's supposed to be.
Arf, arf. Anything else, or shall we play more stuff? We got more stuff, and we'll slip in the Dr. Laura bit for you a little bit later. You will enjoy, and we'll return you to the audio collage. Coming up, we have, we've got Negative Land, who you're going to hear much more of tomorrow starting at noon. So stay tuned to this frequency and 12 others around Seattle's radio dial for more Negative Land. Tonight we'll play some of that. We'll do some more Schoolhouse Rock. Ooh, V-Man from Freak Radio Santa Cruz in the house with Collage. And V-Man actually may be in Seattle soon. Maybe we can get him on the P air. And Stensky with a classic. But first, more 70s and early 80s. Audio collage. Back old school when it was actually done with tape. The Tape Beatles with Behold Republic on... The Tape Beatles, Flowers for Dead Heroes. Right here on Ze Pe.
We want to have some influence in encouraging the moderate Arab states in the Middle East.
CBS News, fighting the facts with ear. CBS News, fighting the truth. CBS News, fighting the facts. The truth about CBS News. Tomorrow, experience anthrax.
Behold a republic.
Believe me,
resting securely upon the mountain of eternal truth.
No American who sees firsthand
a republic applying in practice and proclaiming to the world
the concrete and mortar, the guard post,
jury,
the machine gun towers,
the self-evident proposition
and might of the enemy,
and the barbed wire
must very soon,
can ever again take for granted
that all men are created equal,
his or her freedom
returned on us,
and that governments derive their just powers,
that gift of freedom is actually the birthright of all humanity,
from the consent of the governed.
The blast shock passes in a matter of seconds, and the heat and blast effects you can see and feel. You cannot sense the presence of nuclear radiation effects. Alpha and beta particles, because of their low penetrating power, are stopped by most surfaces, even a soldier's skin. They are a hazard only when materials emitting these particles get into the body through breaks in the skin, or through the nose or mouth.
Did you keep your mouth shut, or did you get a mouth full of dirt?
I got a mouth full of face full of dirt.
How about all that smoke and dust and radiation, would you?
I couldn't see.
I couldn't see for quite a spell.
Very young, did you wear any type of protective clothing, or just what did you wear?
No, just regular GI white clothes.
We see pinned on your lapels here this white badge. Can you tell me what that is?
That's a film badge to determine, detect the amount of radiation you've received in the area.
And they can tell from that if you received a lethal dose.
That's right, they can.
Americans are asking, who attacked our country? The evidence we have gathered all points to a collection of loosely affiliated police forces, intelligence service, dozens of federal departments and agencies, as well as state and local governments and banking systems around the world. Americans are asking, how will we fight and win this war? By sponsoring and sheltering and supplying terrorists, by sacrificing human life, by aiding and abetting murder, and those who commit evil. And tonight, the United States of America is committing murder on thousands of civilians in places like Afghanistan, like the war against Iraq a decade ago, and make no distinctions among military and civilians, including women and children. And that is good. This is the fight of all who believe in fascism, Nazism, and totalitarianism. And remember why so many hate us. And there is a reason. The United States of America committed an act of war against men and women from El Salvador, Iran, Mexico, and Japan on thousands of civilians. The United States of America is threatening people everywhere, nations from Latin America to Asia to Africa to Europe to the Islamic world. My administration will work with terrorists to plot evil and destruction, to show the world their own cities, their own citizens, may be next. For the last 9 days, the entire world has seen for itself how the United States of America have always been at war and make no distinctions among military and civilians, including women and children. And that is good. Either you are with us or you are with people everywhere that hate the United States of America.
And now, here's Johnny.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Here is a bulletin.
What is it?
Stand by, please.
In Dallas, Texas,
it appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Three shots were fired.
Put me on it, Bill.
President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Stand by, please.
More details.
different now.
What? Something has happened here. We understand there is business, Judy. Something has happened here. I can see many, many motorcycles. I can see many, many motorcycles. This is Kennedy's pink suit. Something has happened here. Many, many motorcycles. This is Kennedy's pink suit. Something has happened here. Something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong.
More details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, "Oh, no.
Justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of
children, I want you to sit down here against the wall. That's it. Now, crouch tight up against it.
Now listen, kids. If they're dropping an atomic bomb, it may go off any second now. Whatever happens, I'll give the signal when it's all right for us to get up. If there's an explosion, we'll wait about a minute after it's all over. Then we'll go upstairs and take a look around, see if it's all right for us to clean up. Broken glass and all this debris. All in all, I'd say we've been very lucky around here. Nothing to do now but wait for orders from the authorities and relax.
Oh, beautiful for smoggy skies, insecticided rain, for strip-lined mountains' majesty above the asphalt plain. America, America, man sheds his waste on me and hides the pines with billboard signs from sea to oily sea.
I think it's wrong. I think the government should step in and conscript it, make cards out, fingerprint everybody, picture them, and then keep it that way, because this country is the only country that lets in all the refuse that they possibly can get along with the good people. If the people of the United States had better wake up before they have their whole little kit and caboodle go down the drain. Bread is $1.19 a loaf, and the people in this country are tired of paying for the other people that are coming in here and working. We feel sorry, we send money, we help them, but we don't want any more of those aliens, period.
You guys stand back. How many are we shooting off?
Boomer 1 to Boomer 2. Standing by on Q1. 2 5-inch flag shells. Okay.
You've done the first two.
R1.
The bombs bursting in air. The bombs bursting in air.
Pong.
And the rockets red glare.
Pong.
I beg your pardon.
Vulgar song.
I beg your pardon.
Poetic song.
The well-known vulgar song.
The bombs, bombs, bombs bursting in air.
I beg your pardon.
And the rockets, the rockets, the rockets, red glare.
Vulgar song.
The intense patriotism surging across our country, carrying the national anthem to new and different heights.
Targeting
all the way to the top of the music charts.
Vulgar, vulgar song.
Poetic song.
I am an American.
You're infected.
Listen to my words.
Bombs, rockets, bombs, rockets.
You're infected. You're infected.
He tried to do is obfuscate, to confuse.
I am an American.
the bomb bursting in air. And the red glare.
Down for like a screen door. Dale caught in a screen door.
I beg your pardon. Are you dissatisfied with the song?
Sounds more like a screen with a screen caught in a screen door.
Well, no, it wasn't meant to be sung while sober.
Yeah? Screen door caught in a tail screen.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah?
No, it actually began as a drinking song.
Oh, yeah?
Doesn't just hearing it make you wish you weren't sober?
Oh, yeah? Oh, you mean,
yes.
Its author, Francis Scott Key, might have been charmed by topping the top 40, but was this really what he had in mind?
The bomb.
Or better yet,
the sweet, delicious coldness of the first bite of peppermint ice cream on the 4th of July.
Or better yet,
drink up.
Was this really his song?
Drink up.
Well, you wish you weren't sober.
Who is?
Anacreon, a Greek poet who celebrated
screen door
drinking.
Oh, I do.
Drink up.
To be free. Yes, the tune of our national anthem was lifted from an old English drinking song.
Yeah?
Doesn't just hearing it make you wish you weren't sober?
Who is?
The people who wrote it certainly weren't.
Drink up.
Francis Scott Key wasn't either when he stole the tune.
I bet I'd like him.
Oh, you would have liked Anacreon even more.
Anacreon. Oh, I do.
Even more.
Anacreon.
Well, all the good things in life.
Oh, you mean,
Yes.
Let's sing it again.
Those are the new words, remember?
Oh, so who knows the old ones?
Ready, gentlemen?
In pubs throughout England.
To Anacreon in heaven, that him boldly
stand by the rails and receive a hair-raising impression of how this projectile sounds as it passes by.
The riots must be free. And the bombs red clay.
Drink separation of the first stage at Vernon.
Freedom to think.
Intermittent sound of the guidance rockets.
Freedom to see.
The separation of the second stage.
To pray, to read, to argue, to pray.
Of eternal
being quiet with the worst negative
action. Every American has at least one thing to be thankful for.
A cheap shot, right. Just not true.
But he still sold a flag and not a shirt. Good night.
The issue of morality, a function of testosterone and foolish behavior.
Morality.
I'm
Dr. Morris
Lessingham.
Female
ejaculation. I'm Dr. Morris Lessingham.
G5. I'm Dr. Morris Lessingham.
Through her daughter.
I'm Dr. Morris Lessingham.
A penis in a vagina. This woman is having sex with a dog. And the dog is humping the woman from behind. And this woman is having sex with a dog. And this big white dog is licking her feet while she's leaning over, looking like she's in the middle of an orgasm.
This woman is having sex with a dog.
His testicle ground out firm, he had his orgasm, he ejaculated, and voila,
a biological event occurred. This woman is having sex with a dog. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying it for effect. I'm not doing it for attention.
I'm not kidding.
How could I be doing it for attention? You're already listening.
I'm not saying it for effect. This is S&M and bestiality all in one place. I'm not doing it for attention. How could I be doing it for attention? You're already listening.
You're already listening.
Right?
You're already listening.
Right?
And somebody listening to another station is not going to get brainwaves saying I'm doing something fallacious. Or saying something outrageous, therefore they'll come listen to me.
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 The issue of morality.
The issue of morality.
The issue of morality.
Morality. Morality. Morality.
Morality. Morality.
Morality. Morality.
Morality. Morality.
Morality. Morality.
Morality. Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Morality.
Let me describe what the older high school boys did to the younger high school boys. The older boys got naked, and sat on the younger boys' faces with their naked behinds. They also sat the boys up, stood in front of them naked, and whipped their penis and testicles across the young boys' faces to slap them with. You know, sham, bam, swish, swish, sham, bam, swish, swish, sham, bam, swish, swish, sham, bam, swish, swish. They also put shaving cream in on or around the boys naked behind. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, optimizing solo sex. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, lesbian oral sex. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, optimizing pleasures. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, masturbating sweat. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, female ejaculation. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, the G-spot, the G-spot. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, screwing her daughter. I'm Dr. Laura Slessian, 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 I'm Dr. Laura Slessian. Bam, bam, swish, swish. 8-year-olds should know about how to do oral sex right, anal sex right, homosexual sex right, dildo sex right, homo, ex, whatever. They should know all of this or else their lives will be dragged. Morality, 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 morality. Isn't that frightening? Very frightening. Very frightening. You have to operate out of fear. You gotta go do the right thing, 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 thing,
everybody together.
We're having fun. We will say to you, join us.
Everybody together.
Get the message. Join us.
Everybody together.
Get the message. Join us.
Everybody together.
Get the message. Get the message. Get the message. Get the message. I'm an astronaut. I am an astronaut. 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 I invented television.
Liar.
That's what I'm Luke Skywalker.
Liar. That's what
I invented television.
Liar.
That's what I'm Luke Skywalker.
Liar.
Trying to get out of the Death Star. Out of the Death Star.
Coming out of the Death Star.
Out of the Death Star. Out of the Death Star.
I'm telling you.
We're having fun.
Everybody together. I'm telling you.
And again, I'm an astronaut. I am an astronaut. 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 I am an turn on television. That's really what it's all about. It's all about. It's all about. It's all about.
I want the 21st century to be one that's on the ground.
This administration has a problem. They had their chance. They have not led. We will. This administration had its moment. They had their chance. They have not led. We will. This administration had its moment. They had their chance. They have not led. We will. This administration had its moment. They had their chance. They have not led. We will. This administration had its moment. They had their chance. They have not led. We will.
That's what it is to be a slave.
We are the free and unconquerable people of the United States of America. We are the free and unconquerable people of the United States of America.
This is the American and unconquerable. They had their chance. They had their chance. We will. This is the American and unconquerable. They had their chance. They have not led. We will. This is the American and
have a compelling reason to consider running for president. I want the 21st century to be one of prosperity with a purpose.
A presidential address. From New York, here is Dan Rather.
Good evening again. The President of the United States is about to address the nation from the Oval Office. Here now is the President.
These are the times that rock and soul. I instructed our military commanders to totally rock the Americans. And I repeat those well-known words over and over again. We will rock you. And I repeat this over and over again. Over and over again. And I repeat this. Over and over again. Over and over again. We will rock you. Some may ask, why rock out now? The answer is clear.
The facts are clear.
The answer is clear.
That's why
That all women out there still listening haven't jumped on the phones, talked about sterilization of women, and there are some weird ones. We've had a funny cross-section this morning. This is something that I'm surprised nobody has jumped on. Nobody really is willing to take a hold of what, or grasp the significance possibilities of this particular topic, and that's plutonium. They're going to extract out of uranium, spent uranium fuel. They're going to extract plutonium out of it. And then they're going to ship the stuff 17,000 miles. 150 tons of plutonium on the high seas over the next 30 years. Enough for 20,000 bombs. Plutonium. Plutonium will be transported on cargo vessels, probably in batches of about a ton, with an average of 5 shipments each a year. Each shipment will take about 7 weeks for the 17-mile journey. And as I said, I'm just bringing this up because I think it's an important issue. And for those of you just joining us may not have heard about this. Plutonium. If that stuff goes down in the ocean, the casks would rupture at depths of 1,200 feet or greater off the continental shelf, poisoning the ocean. How about terrorists? Okay? How about the drug cartel? The drug cartels, folks. Think about it. Think about it. Those guys have millions. Millions and millions and millions. Billions. Forget about millions. Billions. They can go out and purchase whatever they need. And if you want to create a disruption, and if you want to hold somebody hostage, not somebody, but some country hostage, some people hostage, what are you going to use? Plutonium.
We're guilty of something. I obstructed justice. But then the question was raised, how could you possibly have had the money? Where did you get it? Well, I'm a crook. I profited from public service. I made a lot of money. And I'm not claiming I was worth it. I have $1 million in campaign funds. And so that's where the money came from.
I'm going to repeat a question that was asked of you by a senator anyway. And I'd like to have an answer to it. Senator Inouye asked you, to what length are you now willing to go to deceive in an effort to avoid further implication?
First, just to put it all out, I'll give you $47,000 and a 1958 Oldsmobile that needs an overhaul.
Let me ask you about one more piece of testimony. The meeting on March the 22nd, which you had with Mr. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, and Dean.
That weekend, I was in the John with Mr. Peterson. No, seriously, I hold that it probably doesn't make any difference whether they're tried or not, because that's our American system. I know that this group has asked very good questions and very appropriate ones. I was hoping you'd ask me about the milk. Well, since you haven't raised some of these subjects, I'll raise them myself. This administration, in 1971, raised the support price for milk as a quid pro quo for a promise by the milk producers that they would contribute substantial amounts, anywhere from $100,000 to $2 million to $10 million to our campaign. And that's why it was done. And that's the truth.
Yes, so you're going to get every one of the famous Watergate tapes. And Dickie Nixon, he's going to give them to you free. That's right, free, free, free. Because that way, he gets another $500,000 tax deduction.
But if you feel you need more information, write to me, and I'll give it to you for $300,000.
Just send me your checks, or your money orders, or your sister, your finger, your dirty shorts, anything you got. The Vasco Enterprises, Nicaragua. Listen, Honduras, anywhere, we're going to find you. You find us.
Good evening. Now that most of the major witnesses in the Watergate phase of the Senate committee hearings on campaign practices have been heard, the time has come for me to speak out about the charges made for the American people. I shall not attempt to deal tonight with the facts. My effort throughout has been to hide the facts. On May 22nd,
before the major witnesses had testified, I issued a detailed statement addressing the charges that had been made against the president. Turning now to the basic issues which have been raised by Watergate, I stand for excessive partisanship, for enemy-less, for efforts to use the great institutions of government for partisan political purposes. The institutions of government must be used against the people. Those who insisted on the old restraints must be punished, brutally suppressed, shouted down, or even physically assaulted. If there are laws we disagree with, let us work to change them. But let us not obey them until they are changed. Many have urged that in order to help prove the truth of what I have said, I should turn over to the special prosecutor and the Senate committee recordings of conversation that I held in my office or on my telephone. However, the tapes implicate the president personally in the illegal activities that took place. If I were to make public these tapes, no one would want to speak to me. Thank you, and good evening.
You know, Barbara is unstable. She is too big and spends too much. She's nagging, lazy, and uninspired. But when Barbara holds my pride, I have always risen to the occasion. This may seem frivolous, and I don't mean it so. But this weekend, we did it together, right here in this chamber, pushing my missile inch by inch further and deeper. And I'm huge, and I came twice, really. But this is no time to boast. Tonight, she wanted me to know that someday, having a good time must end. Which means no more next year than this year. Oh no, this will not stand. She now recognizes that I have needs, my peace, is hard, and it has been languishing in these hallowed halls for years now. There are certain things that a president can do without the wife, and I'm going to do them. Let me level with you. I relish a good and job, and I cannot wait. Let me tell you what you can do. Give me the same thing 43 governors have. A new woman under complete government control. And you pay the bill. And finally, I had a joint tonight, and it is kicking in now. And that is fine. No one ever thinks I need drugs. But after all, a man needs a vice. You know, I have bad dreams. This time, I saw Elvis, that thief, making fun of my life, and you know, my thing. This will not stand. Thank you, and God bless our beloved country. Thank you very, very much.
That was George Bush the First doing it up hardcore style with Barbara. We're going to hear a little bit more about their sexual picadillos in previous shows, which will contain audio collage and themes similar to tonight. We've got a media and pirate radio show coming up. We've got an advertising and consumption show coming up. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. And, of course, tomorrow the big Negative Land extravaganza on hopefully as many possible vacant channels on Seattle's radio dial as we can make happen in the Mosquito Fleet from noon to 6.
Vacant channels, as seen in the Seattle Post-Intelligencia. Unfortunately, we're not yet as seen on TV, but that might change tomorrow. That indeed might change tomorrow. Over there, well, maybe, you know, at the rally. At the rally, we'll be seen on TV, or perhaps we'll be systematically blocked out from TV. I'm certain we'll be systematically blocked out from all other radio stations.
It's too bad. Too bad. And to think this is a felony in progress.
Wait, no one told me that. I'm out of here.
Oh, okay. final words? We're going to close down for the night, folks. It's late. We need to get some sleep, and then we need to get back up and continue the radio resistance tomorrow. Tune in to 101.1 FM Jam Radio. They're going to be doing their thing. It should be a lot of fun. Let's see here. Oh, stuff we played. George Bush Sr., National Lampoon. Did you check the little ear hole? Let's see. EBN, Adam Project, Joshua Pearson. You know, it's all that shit. We're closing up.
Yeah, that's great. That's one step
by
the day.
Hello?
Okay. Parting words, though.
Yeah, anybody have any parting words?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what have you guys done? How are you wrapping it up?
We're just going to just say some final thoughts and then turn things off. That's all.
This is night one.
This is night one. We're going to have at least two more nights.
That's exciting.
So it should be a lot of fun.
That's very exciting.
A lot of fun.
How did it go? What were the peaks?
The peaks?
Fucking Bush sodomy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the point.
I was loving that. I'm all like, my father touched me.
Yeah, I was loving it too, and I'm still sore.
Well, I just also love the way he was made to say the things that are actually true oftentimes, and that's kind of like shocking sometimes when he says, like, I will blow up children. I'm all like, oh, yeah, well, that's what he's doing, so I just appreciate that honesty. It's really refreshing. I really like to hear things that I know, in fact, are true, as opposed to, like some kind of weird inverse mirror lie, like 180 degrees from the truth reflection, like an anti-truth. I'm all like, ugh. Too much anti-truth. It creeps me out.
Well, if you liked what you heard tonight, you're going to love what you're going to hear later on in the week. Because
yeah.
It's all pretty much, it's all audio collage in the spirit of, you know, the, in the spirit of our, I guess you could call them, what, our linchpin, Negative Land, and our special program. I figured I'd just kind of go hog wild with the collage all week long.
Do you want to give the folks who are listening right now like a little taste?
Oh, we already did some of that, actually.
Oh, you've been teasing it.
Yeah, we've been teasing a little bit.
Good. Teasing is good.
It's going to be it's going to be the shiznit, and you're not going to believe it.
The shiznit?
The shiznit. That's what we say in flyover country.
Flyover country. Now, what is that?
That's where we're from, flyover country.
Is that country that you most people just fly over?
Pretty much. That's the way it is. I mean, we're new here in town.
Where are you from?
I'm
interviewing you.
Flyover country.
Yeah, no, but so like this is a land where is it flat? I mean, there are no airports there. Is the ground boggy?
No. There are airports, and the land is somewhat flat in places. It's definitely not as hilly as it is out here, as I've discovered.
Here you got beautiful bumps and hills, and it's so nice for you to be on a bump and a hill.
Exactly. We are getting out. This is our first QSL.
Oh yeah. I was listening over. Over on 14th and Denny.
Is that pretty good?
Well,
since I don't know Seattle at all.
Well, it's like 2 miles from here.
Oh, okay. Well, let's give the FCC some triangulation tips.
Well, no, the reason why I say that is because it was, here's the deal. It was a nice, clean signal. Uh-huh. About 2 miles away. So that's, you're not, like, in the vicinity. It's, like, going somewhere. It's, like, you're already heading across town a ways. And it was a nice, clean signal. You guys got excellent audio. Yeah, nice, rich, deep bass inside there. Really good. Clean. And we listened on 102.1. We're like, yeah, that sounds good. Uh-huh. Okay. And we bumped up to 102.5. And it was classic rock. And it sounded exactly like classic rock without any interference whatsoever. In fact, it was amazing. You guys maybe won't believe this, but in fact, their entire radio program was absolutely unchanged by what you guys did tonight.
Well, I consider that an endorsement of a responsible operation right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, they just kept doing their thing, and you guys were doing another far more interesting thing. And I just love to listen to good radio in this town, and it's it doesn't happen often enough. And so I just want to thank you guys for coming in town and doing this, because good radio is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be able to do some more hours of this, because I've been waiting a long time. And I'm one of those believers that, you know, radio used to be kind of an art form.
It's magic.
It used to be about, there actually was this person called a DJ who was judged not only on the way they could kind of talk and what their voice sounded like, but also the way that they put things together and kept people listening.
Like
there was
robots.
A technique.
Like robots. I mean, like just machines that just play tons and tons of all the exact same kind of music.
Right. And, you know, the human element is missing. The human touch, the thing that sometimes compelled you to listen to the radio, the thing that made localism such a strong foundation for radio, you know, is gone. So,
no, it's not
in our own little way.
Just stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's right here, right now.
Right. And so we're just trying to, like, resurrect that and keep the art alive.
We are, how can you resurrect what's already living?
Do you really think there are, like, really good DJs on the air in Seattle somewhere? I mean, not on a commercial or a public station or something?
There's a couple of good DJs in town, yeah. There's easily two or three nights of good radio in this town.
You are lucky.
Yeah.
You are one lucky mofo.
Yeah, this is a lucky town. There's really some excellent radio here. The radio in some parts of the dial is not as good as it used to be. And other parts of the dial are sort of improving. And then we've got all of these new frequencies. And I was listening with some other folks tonight, and they're like, man, he goes through the frequencies too fast. Too fast. So we got to, like, I don't know. And they wanted to hear the frequencies over and over and over again.
Okay, we got to give these again. And we should also, is there anything on the Reclaim the Media site about the frequencies?
I don't know. We got to get this zine scanned into the site. That was what we need to do. This is really great. I love this. And these are the frequencies right here. These are the fatties. And these are the gray tones.
All right. So the fatty ones, the ones you should tune through first, I guess, for the most part,
yeah.
With the exception of Jam FM.
With the exception of 101.1 FM, which is truly an exceptional broadcast.
They've been kicking ass all day long. Are they still on the air?
I think they turned off earlier tonight. They got to sleep.
As do we all.
No automation.
Once again, get a pencil. These are the frequencies to check out over the course of the next couple, 3 days. 87.9, 89.1, 94.5, 95.3, 99.5, 101.1, 101.9, neighbors down dial to the left, 102.1, that's us. 104.1. Check those out. Supplemental frequencies where other Mosquito Fleet micro-broadcasters may or may not appear, but you never know, so check them anyway. 93.7, 96.9, 97.7, and 107.3. If you want to know more about this, microradio.net is a website to check out. If you've got internet access, get your ass to the library, something, microradio.net, and you'll get this list right here, and it's awesome.
I was going to say, the thing that's so cool about these frequencies is if you go to 93.7 and you don't hear anybody on it, then that means you are free to broadcast. And if you go to 96.9 and you don't hear anything on it, that means that you are free to broadcast there. And the same thing with the other three frequencies. So the airwaves are open, and I'm just hoping that more and more people will celebrate and enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely. And this is, you know, if anything, you may or may not agree with what we played today and what we said, and that's fine. That's fine, yeah. I mean, we're just trying to provide an example of what's possible if you put your mind to it. It's not hard to do. It's not rocket science. It's actually pretty cheap, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. And so, you know, become the media because you can. And if you'd like to know more, microradio.net's the place to be. Do you have some special? Yeah, we have a special.
I have a point in something special.
Okay.
Luke, I want to deputize you into the micro broadcasters patrol.
Oh, thank you.
So that's your badge.
Wow, I got my badge.
You've got your badge. We've been pinned. You've been badged. So.
I Luke Skywire.
No one will ever tell you you don't need no stinking badge now.
Skywave propagation.
Oh, geek rock talk. But you know, you just mentioned everyone become this, and I think people don't even realize that they can and how inexpensive this equipment is. This transmitter and limiter and all this stuff that we're using here is less than $1,000.
Oh, you can go way. You can put together a clean, kick-ass, fun-as-hell radio station for way less than that. Way less.
You see, because when you hear about radio stations changing hands for $25 million...
Do they sell for that cheap anymore?
Out there in the hinterlands. Out here, I guess it's like $90 million on the coast. When you hear that, it has nothing to do with the building. It has nothing to do with the transmitters. It has nothing to do with the equipment or the CDs or any of that.
Or the talent.
All that stuff is unimportant in that $90 million. They can, if you're a Clear Channel, you'll actually take that stuff and you'll get rid of it. You'll stick it into a warehouse, or you'll sell it, or you'll give it away. You don't even want it. Because that's not the asset value. The asset value of that station is only that little space in the dial. What has been given away by the U.S. federal government? What has been leased at no cost to the broadcaster? What has been
leased at no cost,
given away, and emptied out, is now worth $90 million. Just think about this for a moment. A little number, a little bit of our spectrum, a little bit of electromagnetic waves oscillating.
And no, it's not even that. It's just a frequency.
It's just a frequency.
Yeah.
It's worth billions and millions and millions of dollars. Something which we just, I guess, 102.1 must be worth like $75 million.
Oh, at least. Oh, yeah.
I mean, by that logic, I mean, you know, 50 million, because it's, you know.
50,000.
50,000 even. Yeah. 50, so we just created 50,000.
Yeah.
What a boon to the economy.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. The only way it retains that value. The only way it retains that value is when you stand guards at the gates to make sure there's exclusivity.
Yeah.
That's the only way it retains that value.
Artificial scarcity.
That we have jackbooted thugs and troops ready to pounce on anyone else who might dare try to use it.
We are at condition orange. The United States is at condition orange. Thank you.
Is the only way that retains that $90 million. So, in addition to the fact that the exclusive rights to some frequency within, like, Seattle or Seattle, Tacoma, the whole area has been given away for free to some corporation, it is then policed for them by the federal government, by the Federal Communications Commission, frequently with the assistance of federal marshals and local authorities, to make sure that nobody else dare try to broadcast either on their frequency or any other open frequency. So they stand guard at the gates for the gold mine which they gave away. And then who pays for this? Well, we all pay for it. But we're going to be darn sure that it's Clear Channel who goes to the bank. This is the logic of broadcasting. Clear Channel.
Are they in town too?
Oh, they're in channel. They're in town too.
They just came to town.
Just came?
They're brand new. We're newly a Clear Channel.
Oh, you're so goddamn lucky.
We're newly. We just happened.
Oh, man. It just happened. They just deemed Seattle to be worthy of snarfing up your frequencies.
Yeah.
The people of Seattle are now just worthy of being communicated to. This is what goes on. And yet, strangely enough, just an investment of a few hundred dollars in radio broadcasting equipment allows you to suddenly create something worth thousands and millions of dollars. But no matter how we price it out, you see, the most important part is the fact that we get to speak. And I'm not sure that we can put a dollar value on it.
It's free.
And that's the whole point here. You see, we can try and create scarcity like Beanie Babies. Well, I'm going to make 50,000, so you better get yours.
How can you create scarcity by making so many of them?
It's so weird. There's frequencies everywhere. There is no scarcity. We've found 14 just here in Seattle. And imagine if we didn't have 50,000-watt blowtorches. How many frequencies we could squeeze? How many people could be broadcasting?
I would like to see a contest started across this country. I would like to see who can open up the most frequencies in their town.
Yeah.
Who can put the most stations on the air?
Yeah.
You know, one of the greatest things about this...
I'd love to see that. Because that just seems like that's an exciting... It's like fun.
One of the greatest things about micro radio is not just the fact that you can fit a hell of a lot of stations onto pretty much any radio dial in the country, but multiple people can run multiple stations on the same frequency.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you decide that you wanted to put together your own radio station, you don't have to be on the air 24/7. You could work on an arrangement with your neighbor who might put together their own very low-priced kit
take a show one day, they take a show the next. That way you have all of these transmitters blooming up all over the country, filling the radio dial, hopefully all day and all night long, and that is what we need to bring some sense of democracy back to the media. That's really what it comes down to,
free,
media democracy.
It's free mass communication. You don't have to pay the phone bill. You don't have to pay large corporations for the privilege of communication services. You just are leveraging your own assets.
Right.
It's user-owned and operated networks, if that means anything. That's like a way certain people understand, like, oh, well, that's valuable. So I just like to say those things in different kinds of ways because we all listen in so many different ways.
So here's the open challenge to you, National Association of Broadcasters Engineers. You're listening to us. And
including Clay Freenwald, our best friend.
Our hero, actually.
So you guys are pissed off that we're... Are you pissed off we're here? Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go off the air in a few minutes. Put on your own transmitter. That's right. You take an Exciter, 35 watts, go on the air. You broadcast. You broadcast the counter notion. Come on.
Yeah.
We dare you. We dare you. Take it back.
Talk back.
Come on, guys. We dare you.
They should just broadcast themselves. If they have something to say, well, you know, that's why I'm so excited about this new magazine that just came out here in town, because Clay actually gets a chance to speak out, to a new community of folks, and we're really happy to provide that service for him. It's a way that our communities can dialogue, can begin a kind of a dialogue. So, Clay's Corner. There's so many good articles in here. Have you guys read Clay's Corner yet?
Oh yeah, Clay. I'm a big Clay fan. Huge.
He started.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Scumbag's already sore.
I do. I have nothing but love for Clay. Oh, this is the one I like. A response to Clay. Oh, have you guys read this?
No, we haven't read much of the stuff over the air. We've just kind of been extemporaneously going off.
This shit is high freaking hilarious. This is Dr. Sandra Woodruff, in her down-home way, gives Clay such a dressing down that's so, like, nice, yet irrefutable. And it's really hilarious. So, she talks in here of why she's gone over to the micro side. She used to work in big stations. She knows the pressure from corporate. It was a daily reality and the way the station ran and stuff, but now she's gone over to the micro side, and she's thrown her lot in with micro broadcasting, which I think is, exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think really within the industry there are a lot of people that support the kinds of things that we are doing, but they're just not comfortable enough to say anything about it. And in fact, I know that there are people who are active in the broadcast industry who at home are running their own stations because they don't get any satisfaction, quote, on the job. Yeah, they're keeping, like, their love of radio alive by having to break the law, and that's pretty sad. And it's doubly sad that they can't put that love of radio into the 50,000-watt blowtorch that they may work for. But, hey, that leaves it up to us to do it.
It's interesting. I mean, they could put their love back into the blowtorch. Although, at 50,000 watts, any kind of life, it just gets cooked inside there. I mean, that's a lot of juice that can kill people. So I really like human-sized, human-scaled. Small is beautiful. And this is a media that's person-sized. And so it's just my size. I love it. It's wonderful. It's not a big gargantuan thing. And you can pick it up and pack it across the country.
Which we have done. I think I'm about done. You about done, Scummy B? What are you going by nowadays?
I guess I have a couple names.
Yeah, you got a name?
Yeah, well, I was Luke Skywire a minute ago. And then...
That's true.
Yeah, and I just got Dip You Kaz.
That's right.
We'll be patrolling the airwaves of Seattle all weekend long. Stay tuned. Random frequencies, random times. Not random frequencies. This really cool zine that lists all the frequencies and has a bunch of stuff about micro radio and includes Clay's column. Where, Luke, can people find this if they want their own copy?
More copies of this thing, because this is such a dynamite little number.
Are they going to be like at the rallies and the workshops and stuff?
Yeah.
So Freeway Park... starting tomorrow, check out the Seattle Independent Media Center. Where is that?
It's located on 3rd Avenue downtown. It's one block north of Benaroya Hall. It's one block north of the post office there on 3rd Avenue. It's just by Ross's Dress for Less, and it's next to some really highfalutin candy ass restaurant that I just cannot for the life of me remember. But there's beautiful people inside there eating food, and you can walk up to them on the sidewalk and you go, oh look, beautiful fishbowl people eating pets. And it's really nice. It's good. You got there and you're like, oh, kind of like window shopping for lifestyles. It's really a beautiful thing. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'll have a little bit of the leather jacket and the beautiful pumps.
Okay, and then when you're done checking out the beautiful people, just kind of turn yourself about 30 degrees to the left.
Yeah.
And boom, you're looking at the IMC.
Yeah, it's 1415 3rd Avenue downtown. It's right just smack dab.
Also, reclaimthemedia.org and microradio.net. Check those out now. Check them out all weekend long. Find out what's going on. And hopefully you learned something and were slightly entertained tonight. All right, that's it. We'll be going off the air in just a few minutes. But first, since this is September 12th, the day after, the year after, the day after, the year after, we might as well... leave you with something that we should all be reminded of occasionally in today's world, and that is your rights. So without further ado, I bring you Peter Coyote and the National Lawyers Guild. You've been listening to System P 102.1 FM. I've been Wankster, and they've been Scumbag Bastard and Luke Skywire. And we'll be back tomorrow at noon for the Negative Land Extravaganza. See you then.
Know your rights. U.S. Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas once reminded a group of young lawyers that the guarantees of the Bill of Rights are, quote, not self-executing. We have to continually make them work. As nightfall does not come all at once, Douglas added, neither does oppression. In both instances, there is a twilight when everything remains seemingly unchanged. And it is in such twilight that we all must be most aware of change in the air, however slight, lest we become unwitting victims of darkness, close quote. In order for the Bill of Rights to work for all of us, we need to know our rights. Know your rights. What rights do you have? You have the right to advocate for change. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution protects the rights of groups and individuals who peacefully advocate changes in laws, government practices, and even the form of government. You have the right to remain silent. The Fifth Amendment of the Constitution gives every person the right to remain silent in the face of questions posed by any police officer or government agent. You have the right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. The Fourth Amendment is supposed to protect our privacy. Without a warrant, government agents are not allowed to search your home or office, and you can refuse to let them in. Know, however, that it is easy for the government to monitor your telephone calls, conversations in your office, home, car, or meeting place, as well as mail. Email is particularly insecure. The government has already begun stepping up its monitoring of emails. Constitutional rights cannot be suspended, even during a state of emergency or wartime. What should you do if agents call you or come to your door to question you? 1. You do not have to talk to the police, FBI, INS, or any other law enforcement agent or investigator. Other than providing your name and address to a police officer who's investigating a crime, you are not legally obligated to talk to anyone on the street, at your home or office, if you've been arrested, or even if you're in jail. If you're driving a motor vehicle, you are required to show your license and registration. Only a judge has the legal authority to order you to answer questions. 2. You do not have to let police or other law enforcement agents into your home or office unless they have a search warrant or arrest warrant. Demand to see the warrant. A search warrant must specifically describe the place to be searched and the things to be seized. If they have a search warrant, you cannot stop them from entering and searching, but you should still tell them that you do not consent to a search. This will limit them to the scope of the search authorized by the warrant. An arrest warrant does not allow them to search your home or office unless you consent to it. Say, I do not consent to a search, loudly and clearly. Consider having the person named on an arrest warrant go outside rather than letting the police into your home or office. 3. If they do present a search warrant, you have the right to monitor their search activities. You have the right to observe what they do. You have the right to ask them for their names and titles. take written notes, including their names, badge numbers, and what agency they are from. Have your friends who are present access this information to your lawyer. A search warrant does not obligate you to answer questions. Do not give them permission to enter any part of your home or office, but remember that actually interfering with the search is unlikely to stop the search and likely to result in your arrest. This is true even if the search is not legal. 4. If the police or FBI or INS or anyone else tries to enter your home without a warrant, say no. Police and other law enforcement agents are very skilled at getting information from people. Many people are afraid that if they refuse to cooperate, it will appear as if they have something to hide. Don't be fooled. The police are allowed to, and do, lie to you. Although agents may seem nice and pretend to be on your side, they are often seeking information about the habits, opinions, and affiliations of people not suspected of wrongdoing, with the end goal of suppressing political activity that the government disagrees with. Trying to answer agents' questions or trying to educate them about your cause can be very dangerous. You can never tell how a seemingly harmless bit of information that you give them might be used and misconstrued to hurt you or someone else. And keep in mind that lying to a federal agent is a crime. The safest things to say are, I am going to remain silent, I want to speak to my lawyer, and I do not consent to a search. 5. If you are stopped on the street, ask if you are free to go. If you are stopped by the police, ask them why. Remember that their answers may not be truthful because they are allowed to lie to you. Ask, am I free to go? If they say yes, then tell them that you do not want to talk to them and that you are going to walk away. Then do so. If they answer no, then you are being detained. Being detained does not necessarily mean you will be arrested. They are entitled to frisk you. A frisk is a pat down on the outside of your clothing. If they search any further than this, say clearly, I do not consent to a search. They may continue anyway. You do not need to answer any questions if you are detained or even if you are arrested. 6. Anything you say to the police, FBI, INS, etc., can be used against you and others. Once you've been arrested, you cannot talk your way out of it. Don't try to engage the police in dialogue or respond to their accusations. Remember that it is common for them to tell you things that are not true in order to get you to talk to them. They may pressure you by saying it's unpatriotic not to answer or that people with nothing to hide would talk. Remember, however, that even innocent people who have done nothing wrong may say things that the government will use against them or other people. This is why the right not to talk is a fundamental right. Lying to the government is a criminal offense, so whatever you do, do not lie. Repeat, I want to talk to my lawyer, to any officer that questions you. 7. If you are nervous about simply refusing to talk, tell them to contact your lawyer. They should stop trying to question you once you announce your desire to consult a lawyer. You do not need to already have one. Remember to get the name, agency, and telephone number of any investigator who visits you and contact the National Lawyers Guild for help getting a lawyer. What is a subpoena? A subpoena is an order from a judge requiring a witness to come to court to testify. A grand jury subpoena requires someone to testify in front of a grand jury, the body that decides whether or not to proceed against someone who has been charged with a crime. Receiving a subpoena does not mean that you are suspected of a crime. It does mean that someone else has been charged with a crime and that they believe you have some relevant information. If you receive a subpoena, contact a lawyer. It is common for police to threaten you with a subpoena in order to get you to talk to them. Don't be intimidated by this, because even if it does happen, you're better off talking to the court after a subpoena has been issued than talking to any law enforcement officer without one. What is a material witness warrant? A material witness is a person believed to have information that is important to the outcome of a case. Usually, a witness is issued a subpoena requiring them to testify in a court. A material witness warrant is issued when there is reason to believe that the witness will not comply with the subpoena. An example of this is if the judge believes that the person may hide from the police or leave the country. This type of warrant allows the potential witness to be held in jail, even though he or she has not been charged with a crime. Even a material witness warrant does not require you to talk to a law enforcement agent. If you are being threatened with a material witness warrant, contact a lawyer. What if I am not a citizen? The most important thing to do is carry with you at all times the name and number of an attorney who will take your calls. If you are a legal permanent resident, you should carry your green card as well. Navigating the immigration system by yourself is extremely difficult. Congress is considering new laws that will give INS extra power to swiftly deport people it thinks are terrorists. There are also many laws on the books that INS could decide to use against people it wishes to arrest or detain. As soon as you encounter an INS agent, call your attorney. If you can't do it right away, keep trying. You must assert these rights. The INS will not do it for you. If you do not demand these rights, or if you sign documents waiving your rights, the INS may deport you before you see either an attorney or a judge. 1. As a non-citizen, you have rights. Know and assert them. Based on existing laws, regulations, and INS guidelines, non-citizens generally have the following rights, regardless of your immigration status. You have the right to speak to an attorney before answering any questions or signing any documents. You have the right to call an attorney or your family if you are detained. And you have the right to be visited by an attorney in detention. You have the right to have your attorney with you at immigration hearings with the INS. You do not, however, have the right to a government-appointed attorney, so you must hire one or contact the National Lawyers Guild for help finding one who will represent you for free. If you are arrested or detained, the INS must decide in 48 hours whether to put you into immigration proceedings and whether to keep you in custody or to release you on bond. You have the right to request release from detention even if the INS hasn't said why it wants to deport you. In most cases, you have the right to request release from detention by paying a bond if necessary, or to request a bond hearing before an immigration judge, even if you have not been formally charged with an immigration violation. In most cases, you have the right to a hearing before an immigration judge to determine whether you have violated the immigration laws. Talk to an immigration lawyer before leaving the U.S. Non-citizens may be barred from coming back to the U.S. if they fall into certain categories. And in general, always try to consult with an attorney before talking to the INS, even on the phone. Many INS officers view enforcement, meaning deporting people, as their primary job. They do not believe that explaining immigration options is part of their job, and most will readily admit this. Non-citizens who are victims of domestic abuse should speak with an expert in both immigration law and domestic violence. You do not have to reveal your immigration status. If you have legal immigration status, you may wish to explain this to an INS agent. The questioning may end at this point. If the INS asks anything about your political views, organizations you belong to, things you have said, where you have traveled, or other questions that seem inappropriate, you do not have to answer them. If you are a foreign national arrested in the U.S., you have the right to call your consulate or to have the police inform the consulate of your arrest. The police must allow your consul to visit or speak with you. Your consul might assist you in finding a lawyer or offer other help, such as contacting your family. You also have the right to refuse help from your consulate. In America, in times of national crisis and in times of war, the Bill of Rights and the civil liberties of people seeking peace and justice are often sacrificed on the altar of national security. Remember, constitutional rights cannot be suspended even during a state of emergency or during wartime. For more information, call the National Lawyers Guild, 415-285-1055, or visit their website www.nlg.org. To report hate crimes, call the American Civil Liberties Union Hate Crimes Hotline, 415-621-2493, extension 322, or call the Arab and Muslim Community Toll-Free Hotline at 1-877-282-2288. Arabic speakers are available. For further information, contact the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, 202-244-2990, or visit their website, www.adc.org. Know Your Rights is a guide created by the National Lawyers Guild. It is also available in print, in Arabic, and in Farsi. My name is Peter Coyote.
Mayday! 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 Chuck Noll.
Robbing people. Carjacking. Home invasion. Everyone taught that life is so cheap. There's nothing to look forward to except when you can score and smoke and get high. Ending welfare as we know it means third world crime as we know it. So why is it all these young people today misbehave? Misbehave. Misbehave. Don't they appreciate the world we've built for them? Crappy jobs, dog eat dog, no compassion in the marketplace. If you like school, you'll love work. Instead, they ditch school and hang out on the street. Job culture, young hooligans, everywhere you look. On TV anyway, and in the newspaper, they're causing trouble. More and more people will pour in the streets as their rents go up and job opportunities go down. So we have to keep them down before they rise up and burn our house of cards to the ground. This is the cost of doing business in third world countries where we keep the peasants down. We have to live in armed compounds, armed guards, play tennis at gunpoint. A different route to work behind bulletproof glass each day. But hey, the more the hordes hate you, the more status you've got. Why not do this with the whole world? With GATT treaties, downsizing. But what about those goddamn hooligans in the street? We stole their future. It's all their fault. We must lock them up. There's no room in the jails. So the best way to sweep them away. Make every home a prison today. Curfew. Curfew. Who cares how much our leaders are corrupt as long as they're tough on crime? Curfew. Keep them away. Curfew. No longer unauthorized activity. Outside.
President, this is no time for ceremony.
Thank you.